Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Greetings, Ogling, Wigger, and Mamzer, and all sorts of ass clowns across the fruited, nutted, open-air Zog Plain. This is Pastor Martin Luther Drzezinski Listed, and this is the Bowel Movement Third, episode number 31. And the title is Zog Will Really Fuck You Up. And today is August 15th, 2010, and it's 8:19 or so, and that's about the time I usually start. It's usually about 15 minutes late. One thing or another comes up, and that's just the way things are. In any case, folks, it looks like I have a fairly good connection on both computers. I was going to try to log in Thursday, but my old computer had a virus in it Thursday morning, so I went ahead and nuked it and put in the restore disk, but that took a couple hours to fix the thing up. And the big, you know, it was probably just as well. I was going to go ahead and talk about what would start, you know, why or how I would reorganize the Christian Identity Above Ground Church, because someone went ahead and called me up asking me to find him a church in Minnesota, and I had to tell him quite correctly is that I don't know of any Christian Identity churches or congregations in Minnesota, nor well, I probably told somebody if I did know, because generally in order to get a Christian Identity congregation, a practicing one, you have to know the people and you have to have someone vouch for you. And I didn't really know anybody in Minnesota. And I went ahead and talked to this character for about an hour or so. And I had no idea who he was. In reality, you really don't know who's on the other end unless you know them for quite some time. So, but then the next day, Friday, it turned out that Hal Turner ended up going ahead and being sentenced by a jury of his nigger and mamzer and wigger peers in Brooklyn, New York. And I'm pretty well sure that jury was pretty well stacked. And from my gathering, he no longer has expensive lawyer. He had a public pretender, and sure enough, he got sent up the river. And they're being pretty quiet about this sort of thing. And there is a much rejoicing, I think, that the Halster ended up going ahead and getting his. But I will go ahead and cover that in a little bit. In fact, there's going to be a difference. There's going to be a new parody song that Frankenwinger has asked for me to go ahead and play. But can't even get a talk shoe to play something here. Anyway, in any case, I'd like to thank guest number two for coming up and updating the No Pisser Possums logo, and I went ahead and took a screenshot, and I'll go ahead and put that, because the old one said No Pisser Possum, the new one says No Pisser Possums, and that's far better. So, anyway, there's been quite a bit of renewed interest, and I'd like to thank the people who have gone ahead and posted my show quite a bit of places here. But I do ask that you don't go ahead and send it over to any other talk show hosts, this particular program. And somebody asked me, how come I haven't complied with what talk show wants? And the fact of the matter is, I have complied with what talk show wants. The thing about it is that eventually there's probably not going to be any great compatibility between me and talk show, because talk show is dedicated to people talking the mundane. They don't want to go ahead and have people talking about movement politics. And in this old bowel movement of ours, we have a problem, and you have all these here little Zogbots and Wiggers and ass clowns, and they either go out on a limb like Hal Turner screaming, well, somebody got to do something violent now, looking for somebody to go ahead and bite, and then go to prison or something. And Hal Turner was not very effective on that. From my gathering, nobody went to prison. I mean, he's better than Trader Glenn Miller. Nobody went to prison because of his ass clownery. In fact, of all things, Zog was the one who went ahead and enforced discipline by bringing down their own pet rat and their own pet traitor. And I sort of got to wonder, how in the world is Zog running things? Because it didn't do a very good job of it. Gonzaga had been running a good operation, Hal Turner would have been exempt. He would have gone ahead and found all the dangerous, nasty, evil white supremacists here and had them plot to go ahead and do something violent and destructive and create bombs, and they'd have rounded them up. They'd have rounded these people up. But the fact of the matter is that all listeners who listen to Hal Turner, and from what I gather, he was a very interesting buffoon. I was reading stories about his past plights, about how he could cause an earthquake in Chile or wherever he could cause an earthquake, and how he feigned having an open-air heart attack one time. And from what I gather, the character was hilarious. He was funny. Ring them the hell in. Okay, well, I guess guess number nine is Mr. Possum. Look at this sort of thing. In any case, it doesn't really matter. I don't really have anything against the Pisser Possums. I have a rather interesting little song about them here called Zog Will Fuck You Up. And essentially it's a story about Hal and a few other, you know, Hal Turner, a few other people. But no, I don't really care. I don't really care. If you folks, in many cases, you don't know what my audience is, and I don't really go ahead and tell you who my audience is. And essentially I don't tell people my business. What this is that this is a, you know, I'm the real, I'm a what? In any case, I have all sorts of characters who go ahead and listen to the show, and they find it amusing. I went ahead and held it, you know, a couple hours early because I didn't do a show Thursday, and I am thinking of going ahead and doing a, you know, doing an extra hour show. Now, I don't think it's going to go ahead and get me any more listeners, really. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, sometimes I do special shows. This week I didn't do a special show. So since I didn't do a special show, I decided to go ahead and hold this show early. And that way, if somebody wanted to go ahead and actually call in, they could do so. But if they didn't, why, they could go ahead and do so in any case. So, let me see. Well, I guess there's a lot of people not, you know, Frank, I guess you're not well, you know, ready for it here. But in any case, I don't worry about who, you know, who very much listens to the show so much. I mean, I got a fairly consistent or steady audience. And, in many cases, some of these people are very, 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 very quiet, and they want to be very, 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 very quiet. It doesn't really bother me. So anyway, folks, if you want to go ahead, you can call in, you can go ahead and call in. But getting to old Hal Turner, you know, it's the main one here, because the thing that gets me is that Hal Turner really didn't accomplish much of anything. Now, what I do is I go ahead and resurrect old threads, and I'll, you know, there's some threads from last year. Let me see. Hal Turner arrested. It occurred right around June of last year, June 5th, 2009. Well, that's when he got arrested for Connecticut for what he went ahead and said there. And Ashkenazi asswipe, or as I, you know, Anchorage activist, or, you know, Ashkenazi activist, you know, asswipe, like I call him, was making a big deal. The thing, you know, a big deal about it, and how he was supporting Hal Turner. But the thing about it is all these so-called movement activists, all they do is they do the same stupid crap that's not accomplished much of anything. Now, they had a National Socialist Movement thingy in Knoxville, I think yesterday, or maybe today, and from what I gather, it really didn't accomplish much, although they had a number of them show up there. And essentially what it is that the so-called activists are usually outnumbered by the counter-protesters. You end up having, you know, several hundred pigs keeping an eye on things, and all they do essentially go ahead and put money into the wallets of pigs, because pigs are find themselves at the local towns and communities kind of go ahead and afford to have all these. It's like Neil's show. Recently, it went ahead and cut 7 or 8 pigs and 7 or 8 fire pigs because they had a $1.1 million shortfall because they were expecting sales tax to go ahead and rise. And they hired all these pigs in the early part of this decade, well, early part of last decade here, because really it's about the start of this decade now, 2010. But they hired all these people, and now they're having to go ahead and fire them. And I'm quite sure that the National Socialist Movement, if it did anything, went ahead and took money out of the general fund to go ahead and pay for their, quote, free speech. Now, rather than go ahead and show up like a clown, they could have instead created web pages, or they could have gone ahead and become cell leaders or bought guns or ammunition or whatever. But in any case, they don't go ahead and do that. Okay? I formally left the movement. I'm like the arson. Okay, I'm looking at this thing here. I need to go ahead and mention Mike Delaney. I went ahead and listened to one of his shows recently, and he was pretty well bitching about how the Patriot Dames interviewed this Mel Gibson's father named Hutton Gibson or something like that. Bitching about how other talk show hosts go ahead and do something. Thing about it is the Patriot Dames snagged a pretty good guess. In order to do that, they said whatever the heck they needed to say. And Bill Fink was on, and I think Bill Fink did a pretty good idea talking to some guy who claimed to be a history professor, and I think I have a pretty good idea who this guy is because he's running for city council, supposedly, or some other such thing. And here's this guy supposedly teaching history, and he's talking about how Christianity is a fraud or a farce or whatever. And Bill asked him, did you read the classics? And this guy really didn't know what the classics were, which goes to show what sort of education wiggers get nowadays. It used to be that the classics, everyone knew what the classics were. They were about, they were these core books around which the first university curriculum was organized. And what they do is they go ahead and get all these students, and they would demonstrate that they had read about 20 or 25 particular books, and thus were educated men. And it was called the classics then. And most of it was, old stuff from Aristotle, from the classical age. And that was what it used to be about. And Fink made the point quite correctly, here you are talking about something that you know absolutely nothing about. And it's just the same, with Alex Linder and Jim Giles or something like that. He doesn't read anything. What actually did go down here, but yet he knows it all. And once you've been on the internet for 10, 15 years, you end up having wiggers feel exactly the same way here. I mean, I'm educated. I'm a professor. I'm this. I'm that. And all this claimed education is nothing more than what these wiggers had filling their heads, thanks to the Jews and thanks to the rest, filling their heads full of stuff that means absolutely nothing. And William Fink had the advantage in that he did have plenty of time to go ahead and probably read the prison library stuff that all the other people did not even want to bother to read. And so as a result, Fink was quite grounded in the classics, and here's this history teacher who didn't know anything about what he's talking about. Reminds me about a month or two ago, some Pollock from Massachusetts came in and talked about how he was a history major, and he was from Massachusetts. He didn't know who or what King Philip's War was. OK? here you are in Massachusetts, you're a history major, and you don't know who King Philip was? You don't even know the history of your own state? And the answer of this is most of these people don't know anything about what they're talking about. But yet, they get a little fact or two, or they get some little notion, and they know so much more than you do, regardless of what they're talking about. Now, this guy named Scott went ahead and sort of backed down, and Prostink went ahead and told him that you're the one who went ahead and actually was the obnoxious one talking about laying Christianity aside. Well, if you want, go ahead and lay Christianity aside. You can also lay aside the fact that the earth is, you know, the sun will hopefully rise up in the east tomorrow. And you can go ahead and talk within whatever little box of ignorance you want to, but the fact of the matter is that essentially you're just like a little machine running, you know, burning garbage, and then when the garbage gets burnt up, this little engine sputters and doesn't produce any useful work or anything. And that's increasingly what the, you know, the bowel movement and everything else is about. Things are falling apart, and they're not doing very well. So, going on, Robert said Christianity failed. Well, yes, you end up having you know, people like Linder, and from my gather, Linder has Jew ass cancer about has sort of gone away a little bit, because now he's talking about destroying Christianity again. And the thing about it is Linder, I don't know if he can go ahead and destroy one of his own colostomy bags worth of damn here, much less destroy Christianity. Christianity came around long before Linder, and he'll be around long after Linder is gone. Linder isn't destroying anything. He just has a number of cards on a falling apart VNNF platform and old snitch. And by the way, Judas Lloyd Rage Retard Giles, I didn't listen to today's show, but I was listening to much of yesterday's show. And the reason I listened to yesterday's show is that he said, so what if I'm a federal informant? Well, if you want to go ahead and say that, I mean, you could say the same thing about Hal Turner. So what if Hal Turner is a federal informant? Answer, it's very relevant that Hal Turner is a federal informant. The thing, though, that Judas Giles doesn't seem to realize is by going ahead and writing a letter to a federal prosecutor about what was going on with this Dan Jones character, he is a federal informant. He went ahead and informed to the feds about what somebody was doing. And as a result, he is a federal informant. The only difference of it is that he's sort of like one of the local sluts here who's giving it away for free, who don't think she's a whore. Yeah, she's given pretty well all of Granby Clap and pretty well putting out for everybody, you know, from the dog to the one nigger we have in town to a couple beaners. I mean, she probably thinks she's not a whore as long as she's not getting any money for it. Well, look, Judas, if you go ahead and inform the Zog, you're still an informant, just like the local town slut. You're still, well, I don't know, you might be technically correct. Maybe she's not a whore as long as she's getting paid. But what she's getting paid for is caresses from everybody who's mounting her in order so they can go ahead and get their rocks off. So she's being paid, but she's not being paid actual money. And that's probably what Judas Giles thinks he's doing here. He's not really an informant because he's not being paid money, even though he's being paid off and feeling good about himself at the time. And from what I gather, well, Judas Giles was whining and pissing and moaning just like about Alex Linder. And I was listening to some of these shows, and thanks to having this MP4 player that I went ahead and bought, I re-listened to the one of December 18th of 2009 when you had Hunter Wallace interviewing, being interviewed by Roid Rage Retard Giles. And old Hunter went ahead and was lumping me in with Linder as being a maniac and a wannabe genocidal expert and all this sort of thing. And I was listening to that, and I was thinking, well, Alex Linder is not into genocide. He's just into making a pose or striking a pose. Me, as far as the genocide is concerned, that's what's going to happen as a result of the Great Tribulation. And there's nothing that I can do to go ahead and stop it. There's nothing I can go ahead and do to enhance it. All I can do is create, as best I can, a number of strong points among white men within Christian identity, mainly, to go ahead and make sure they're not the ones who are genociding when most of the stuff falls apart. Now, as Alex Linder, for all practical purposes, I met Alex Linder, and Alex Linder is just a total pussy. And so is Fade the Butcher. He was yapping, and essentially Fade, you know, I went ahead and looked at it, and Fade was, oh, no, we can't do anything. But all these wiggers, they seem to live in their own little dream la-la land, as in, well, we want a white homeland, we want this, we want that. But they're not willing to go ahead and get their hands dirty. They're not willing to go ahead and kill niggers and Jews in order to go ahead and get it. They sort of think that, just like I've seen within this bowel movement, if we go ahead and we whine like a pussy to Zog, Zog is going to give us our rights. Zog is going to go ahead and be kind to us here because Zog loves us here, and what happens is they don't want us to feel bad about ourselves. And these people, they live in their own little dream world. You know, I don't know if Huff Schmidt, you know, is CIA or not. Probably not. In any case, well, that is a problem, you know, with William Fink, is, you know, who he tolerates. And by the way, Clayton Douglas went ahead and blew up last week against Christian identity. And you got to wonder, I mean, how long is Eli James going to go ahead and work with people who claim that they hate Christian identity? The reason they hate Christian identity is they hate identity Christians. So how long do you go ahead and walk with somebody who doesn't really agree with you or live with you? And the answer of it is that I don't know. But the paramount thing in this bowel movement is what or who you are, you know, what or who you're loyal to. Now, Christian identity is first loyalty. It's to Yahweh. And thus, since we are loyal to Yahweh, we are loyal to white Israel. First of all, Christian white Israel, not Whigger white Israel, which, you know, not white Whigger Israel, who would go ahead and have sold their birthright out to the Beaners and the Mexicans and the niggers for a little pat on the head from Jews, tell them how moral they are in order to go ahead and give up on some other poor Uyghur, to make some other poor Uyghur kid be bussed somewhere while the Uyghur gets to go ahead and enjoy country club living. Sort of like your regular Republicans. And the fact of the matter is that we cannot get anywhere until the Republican Party is destroyed, until all these Uyghurs are actually paying the price of bringing in all these Beaners, of doing all this shit, until they end up paying the price for their treason, the full price. They're not going to go ahead and help us or try to save the white race until it involves first saving their wallets. And then once they go ahead and do what needs to be done, they might go ahead and become a white warrior, but for now all they are is just a Uyghur, just a selfish Uyghur who sells out to the Jews. In any case, you know, William Fink did an admirable job. But on the other hand, this Delaney character is a rather dodgy character. I'm convinced that he dropped a dime on PastorLinstead.org. And from what I gather, I went ahead and looked at the list of their past podcasts, and Delaney's podcasts on TalkShoe are rather sketchy. Like he admitted, as I haven't done this for a long time. No, you haven't done this thing for a long time. What are you doing? Answer, I don't know. I think he's probably just doing what he's told He just hasn't got around to going ahead and doing it. He's trying to weasel his way into Christian Identity. But in the meantime, you end up having people like Clayton Douglas who, okay, I'll get along with it. And, he was on this private chat thing. He came on about a month or so ago, bitching and whining that nobody in Christian Identity had given them any money. So with Clayton, I mean, he's what you call a patriot, PAYTRIOT. You need to give him money. You need to give him money, and at the same time, he's going to get you racist. He's going to get these racist bikers to beat up the Aryan Nations people. Now I'm looking at him. You dumb shit. These people who you supposedly support, you know, the Hell's Angels that you claim to support, they're totally racist. They don't have a single nigger in there. They don't like the Mongols, which are a bunch of beaners on motorcycles. You're going to go ahead and get them to beat us up because we're racist? He has this little notion, just like the Bro Grits did, is he's going to go ahead and sell some desert property out in Arizona, and they're going to have, a bunch of quarters to where you have wiggers in one quarter, and beaners in another, and niggers in another, and they're all going to go ahead and live in peace, rather than, like it usually happens, you know, the niggers want the wiggers to support them, and the beaners are pretty well doing the landscaping, and they're going to go ahead and stick to their little barrios and not steal nothing. Ain't going to happen. It don't happen in real life. So it's not going to happen in Clayton Douglas's la-la land. But here he is, bitching and whining and pissing and moaning about Christian Identity. And you got to wonder, what in the world? What in the world is going on? I mean, you're just a real patriot wigger. And he was bitching and whining and pissing and moaning about William Fink. And I'm thinking, how long is Eli James going to go ahead and get along with Clayton Douglas and Bill Fink at the same time? And the thing about it is that there need not be an explosion at all. I'm reminded of when my stepdaughter lived with me and Roxy. She'd have a friend named Crystal and another friend named her cousin Tammy, three little fat girls. And what they do is that they'd be in a little pair of three, but the thing about it is that of the three, one was always out at any one given time, and you'd have a twosome. Now Emily had a good deal of money from her biological father's VA check and from Social Security, so she had the most money. And what happens is that Tammy, or who I call Tamster the Hamster, and Crystal usually try to go ahead and be in with fat ass Emily at any given time. But occasionally old Emily would be on the outs. And what they do is they go ahead and they break up here. There'd be two against the third. And that's what I see in the bowel movement in many cases. It's no different. It's no different than a bunch of 10, 11, 12 year old little fat winger girls playing their little games at the time. Okay? So where was I at here? in any case, you gotta go ahead and laugh. You gotta go ahead and laugh in that, you know, here's these people pretend they're so tough. They're so tough. And the fact of the matter is that usually Christian Identity and the Hell's Angels, they never have any conflict. It's sort of like in the 90s when I had this wigger who lived, in Chippewa, New York. And supposedly old Bill and Hillary were supposed to move in close to him here, a couple of houses down. And Wigger Scotty was trying to tell me, I called him Wigger Scotty, his name was Scott from Chippewa, New York. And Wigger Scotty was trying to convince me, that, guess what? was going to go ahead and get some racists to beat me up here. He was going to get some Hell's Angels to go ahead and beat me up. Okay? And I was saying, that's not going to happen. You don't know anything about Hell's Angels. And neither does Clayton Douglas, from my gather. He's just a little wannabe hanging around the edge. And from what I gather, as long as he buys dope from them, they tolerate his ass. He's probably one of their customers. But as far as letting him go ahead and ride behind him in a Harley, I don't think that's going to happen. As far as going ahead and beating up on any Aryan Nations people because they're racist, I mean, you know, look, Douglas, you're going to get your stupid ass beat if you go ahead and try it. But, you know, I don't know. From what I gather, the guy is just a total poser. A total poser. And you end up having the same thing with this ProThink character. And pretty well, from what I gather, when I had this argument with him, he went ahead and admitted his little sidekick named Kaplan / Quest wasn't a Jew. He was a Turkish Mamzer of some sort. And I'm thinking, okay, let's say he isn't a Jew. Although I tend to doubt it. He probably is a Jew, but you go ahead and look at the character. He was some Mamzer of some sort. So why are you buddy-buddies with a Mamzer? Why are you trying to go ahead and bring some Mamzer into the congregation of the House of Israel? You're not supposed to do that. Why are you doing that? And the answer is that there's not supposed to be these people. Sort of like Sword Mamzer. He calls himself Sword Brethren. Another little Mamzer trying to creep in. And the fact of the matter is that you can't make fun of Pete Peters with his Jew, you know, with his pet Jew, Charles Weissman, as Nigger of the Month, and then go ahead and try to bring into Christian Israel all these Mamzers, all these non-whites, and say that they belong in our congregation when they don't. They might be going ahead and doing something useful, but what you do is that you let the Mamzers deal with rioting among themselves, because when it comes down to it, every little Mamzer wants to live off the white man, wants to live off the Christian Israelite. So does every little nigger. And you don't want to be caught. You don't want to be caught supporting your pet Mamzer or your pet nigger or your pet Jew's right to live off of Christian Israel. Because if you do, then why are you here? Why are you here? So I've seen a number of things sort of fall apart, but then again, there were things which never should have been brought together in the first place at all. Well, the thing about it is everybody knows that here. You know, someone asked me about should we follow dietary laws, and the answer is yes. The fact of the matter is, if you go ahead and eat any pastries or anything like that, any donuts or something like that, it's not cooked in vegetable oil. They may say it is, but it's not. It's cooked in lard. Over the years, the lard, you know, which comes from pigs, I don't know if you've barbecued or been around barbecue, there's a difference between beef tallow, which firms up every single chance it gets here, and pork grease, you know, or, you know, pork fat. Pig's a fatty animal. And I've eaten bacon before, and occasionally I still do. And yes, I think we should follow dietary laws, but it's not so much a sin if you don't go ahead and do it, but rather it's a good idea not to go ahead and eat very much pork. But whether you like it or not, if you go to a number of these places, you're going to be eating something that is fried in pork fat, especially if you end up eating donuts or something like that, because they're all cooked in pork. My friend, Pastor John Britton, he pretty well understands that because he has actually gone ahead and looked back of there, and usually they don't want to go ahead and tell you what they're doing back there. But yeah, you end up, especially if you're eating donuts or fried food, in many cases it is cooked in pork, or it has a characteristic support. Whereas if you've gone ahead and, cooked beef or something like that that has, tallow in it, the tallow firms up. The tallow will be firm even at room temperature, normal room temperature around 70 or 80 degrees. Your pork fat will be just fat here. And it runs thinner usually than even vegetable oil does. So that's why it's used for all these, cooking products here. So if you're living to where, hey, I'm going to get to heaven because I didn't go ahead and eat any pork products or anything like that, chances are you're still not going to make it if that is what gets you there. Now, on the other hand, am I saying that go out and buy you 100 pounds of pork spare ribs and barbecue them up and invite the nigger or the Jew to come over and eat on it? No. The pig in many ways is an unclean animal. But if you've gone ahead and seen chickens, they're none too clean either. But the thing about it is that, yes, as a general rule, we should try to obey the dietary laws because those dietary laws are for our own good. Now, as far as thinking, is it a matter of getting to heaven or hell? No, it's not a matter of that. Okay? Anyway, I'm not, Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I wouldn't eat filthy animals either. In any case, when I was in jail at the Nut House, I would eat the biscuits and gravy, and it'd have a very little bit of sausage, a very little bit of sausage in it. And thing about it is that you get pretty hungry, you'll eat pretty well whatever's set in front of your plate. So no, I'm not advising anybody to go out and eat a bunch of pork roast. But on the other hand, you're not going to go to hell if you have bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Well, I don't have any bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwiches. Let's say I have a bacon cheeseburger. If you have your pet Jew, offer him a bacon cheeseburger. Now, if he's a good little devout Jew here, he won't eat it because A, the bacon, and B, because it's a cheeseburger. They come up with all the stupid crap here. Wow, you shouldn't see the kid and its mother's milk. So they get to where a cheeseburger is not kosher because it has milk and meat products into it. And that's where they got to, the Jews did, pretending they obey the law of Moses when the law of Moses never applied to them. They never were much more than Edomite and Canaanite and Kenite Mamzers. But they go through all this Talmudic stuff here, which tells them what they can, how they can go ahead and disobey the law of Moses as long as they practice some sort of little mental or moral or physical evasion. In case going on, I don't worry about it, I don't have asparagus on my sandwich here. I don't really have very much tomatoes on the sandwich. Usually I end up having the meat, maybe some mayonnaise or something like that. What I've been doing recently is having turkey salad sandwiches because for some reason the turkey I can get some of it for 67 cents a pound. And what I did is I canned a bunch of stuff here, and now I'm just opening up the cans and, taking all this parsley and all this, all these other herbs like, not the pisser possum favorite herb. I don't have any of that growing as far as I know of. I usually take in oregano and tarragon and some sweet basil and the rest, and pretty well put it on that sandwich. But anyway, getting on is that I had somebody, I had two people call me, and one of them was wanting to know, how he could find him at Christian Identity Church, where he moved from Tampa, Florida, where he was a prisoner in the Florida prison system, and I didn't ask him, you know, what his name was. I didn't really ask him why what he was in prison for. I didn't ask him why he moved to Minnesota. I just simply explained to him the facts of that within the Christian Identity community, the vast majority, 99.999999% of Christian Identity is in these small one and two and sometimes even three family congregations. And that unless you are known or a family member, you don't go ahead and get in there. And second of all, you don't go ahead and tell anybody where these congregations are because you have no idea who's on the other end of the line on you. Al had explained it to him. And he was pretty well asking a number of things. He was asking me, let me see. I'm thinking because I'm going ahead and saving the chat right now. And tonight's working pretty good. It's working pretty good. But anyway, getting on with it. I went ahead and said that, we're talking about somebody's getting into the green herb of the field here. For what it's worth here, I've never been a marijuana user at all, although I've smelled it quite a bit, secondhand smoke from when I was in the Army and all these, troopers were spending their hard-earned Zogbucks on hash. In Germany, it was I never seen any leaf weed here. It was all hash because they were in Europe. And, I wasn't very long in the Army in the United States just for basic training. And in basic training, of course, you don't have any, nobody is going to town. Nobody is smoking anything. Well, back then you could smoke cigarettes. But essentially, in many cases, soon after I got in, they pretty well discontinued smoking during basic training. They wanted you to go ahead and, get some good lung capacity and hopefully break your habit while you were undergoing basic training. Now I don't know what they do in the Army. I'm sure they let the let them smoke, and you can go ahead and probably buy cigarettes and liquor pretty cheap because it's not taxed, at least on military reservations. But no, I've never been really a doper at all. And the thing about it is, I'm not really mad at the pisser, Jeremy Visser, for him being a doper, for him being a little meth goober, but rather the fact that he is not to be trusted, that he's a thief, that he hangs around with Brian Wright and a bunch of their thieves and mamsers, and he tried to go ahead and steal Goethe's church. And as a result of him being a meth head, chances are Zog got him by the nutsack and can go ahead and make him do whatever the heck he wanted to. Want them to do. And once he went ahead and got caught, well, he doesn't want to go to prison, so he goes ahead and accepts some money from Zog, and he acts as a Zog body, acts as a Zog false front. So as a result of your habits and your lust, you can go ahead and be pretty well pretty well turned into a traitor because you don't have any choice in the matter. Now, Hal Turner was somewhat different, and I'll go ahead and talk about Hal Turnerism. That's what I'm going to end up calling it. But I'm going ahead and looking at this, and initially when it first came up, you have Covington saying that he thought this was way back 6/6/2009. This was before the federal, before the federal, the feds went ahead and arrested him when he was arrested by the Connecticut people for that. And Harold Covington said, I think Hal Turner fell victim to the seductive lure of the internet. You're sitting in your rec room, wherever you got your computer, lights are off, it's quiet all around except for your sound card. The monitor is glowing and colorful. Your mouse clicking away, making things happen on the screen. And I'm going to go ahead. This computer thing is trying to go ahead and make me restart my computer. And I don't want to restart my computer. Get away from there. Anyway, pretty well. The thing about it is, he goes ahead and talks about Bill White. He says that once you're sitting on your computer, you can go ahead and say whatever the heck you want to without any chance of getting an ass whooping. He says that Hal Turner went ahead and did it. And I'm looking at this thing, and I like the pisser possum. I support Hal Turner. Now, this was in early June when this ended up happening, and I went ahead and said I was going to send him $10. Well, on the 18th, old Sci-Fi Faber decides to go ahead and I can't work with you instead. And the reason Sci-Fi couldn't work with me didn't have anything to do with Hal Turner. Had everything to do with Sci-Fi being all pissed off because some Jewess wanted to go ahead and interview me, or wanted to go ahead and was paying attention to me and my brand new V-Bulletin for him, and not paying attention to poor old Sci-Fi Faber. It was nothing more than vanity. And him and Visser got their little heads together and decided to come up with this crap to where I would be held in front of the ecclesiastical court and said that I was not a pastor and be removed by James Wickstrom. Now, I'm looking at this stupid crap and thinking, well, who are you idiots? The fact of the matter is Visser essentially came through some sort of bail priest. It was over at Stumble Inn, somebody I never heard of before. Supposedly, that's how we got into from Lutheranism to Christian identity. And he goes ahead and he claims that he's of the line of Swift and Butler, and he claims it's from Gillette. But here he is, trying to steal Gillette's church. And here he is, having this pet Mamzer, Brian Wright, saying that Butler and Swift were Mamzers. Look, dumbass. You've gone ahead and you've sawed the limb upon which you sit, because if Pastor Wesley Swift and Richard Butler are Mamzers, then whatever ordination they have to give is not valid. Now, I don't believe Pastor Swift or Butler were Mamzers. But you've allowed your pet Mamzer, Brian Wright, to go ahead and say that. In fact, you've allowed your pet Mamzer, Brian Wright, to say that you're a Mamzer, Visser. So as a result, from whence comes your ordination? As far as Sci-Fi Faber is concerned, his came from August Christ, and Sci-Fi went ahead and betrayed August Christ. So essentially, Sci-Fi is a traitor to a traitor. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get into this Aryan Nation silliness that's going on in a little bit a minute. But I didn't go ahead and point out what old Sci-Fi was doing because I didn't want Hal Turner to go ahead and get in trouble. And a week later, Hal Turner got arrested by the feds. And so a month went by, and then Hal Turner and Hal Turner's lawyer says, hey, I'm a rat. I'm an informant. And then 2 months went by, and Hal Turner says he's not only an informant, he's an agent provocateur. Okay? So anyway, in the early portions of this, and you had a member at the time. He said things in the past service that turned me off to him. Him and his earthquake down in Peru and crap like that. I've had doubts about whether or not I was on take with feds. I guess not, huh? In the end, he's done more good for the white cause than harm. He's generously promoted CI on his network. In fact, he did claim to be CI, or at least have strong sympathies for it. Can't remember which. So I don't know if this guy would like to take his post down or not. I have no idea. But going on, and I went ahead on 7/11 and said white nationalists need to close ranks. But he goes on. He goes on. Here comes the 18th of it. And then on the 18th, we find out, you know, this was August 18th, we found out he wasn't only an FBI informant. The lawyer Michael Orzocco announced him as an agent provocateur in an August 18th court hearing. And I went ahead and showed picture three rats, Trader Glenn Miller, Trader Alex Linder, and Trader Hal Turner. Now, the thing about Ashkenazi Asswipe is he makes a big deal about how agent provocateurs like Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder and Bill White, why they're better agent provocateurs and they're better Zogbots than Hal Turner. Let's go ahead and admit that Hal Turner, at least, was quite a showman. He was quite a buffoon. He was quite a clown. And I'm going to go ahead and look at this. I'm going to go ahead and go, you know, further on. Someone who's been in the bowel movement quite some time, Harold Covington, went ahead and made a point soon after. Yeah, you have this guy saying that he got into Hal Turner because he said he wanted to live the good life. He was tired of doing without in order to fund the cause and so on. The soul is bought. You can't serve both Yahweh and Mammon. Okay? Oh, this Tony OPTP character, he sort of figured out Hal Turner was a Zogbot. And he had an interesting thread 2 years ago about the FBI Turner Network, which is still on VNNF here. Perhaps I'll go ahead and leave a, you know, clue to it. And folks, if I seem a little bit tired, my teeth are hurting quite a bit. So if I seem a little bit tired, it's probably because I am. Got some sort of swollen gums, and if I don't speak very clearly, that's probably the reason for it. Okay? But anyway, you had Apollonian going ahead, but, you know, Apollonian has sort of supported poor old Hal Turner. I went on and said, Hal, Harold Covington on 8/22 of last year said, guys, look, the feds are going to try to slip ringers on us like this. It's what they do. We shouldn't be surprised when it happens, and I see little need for us to beat ourselves up over it. So far as I know, Turner doesn't seem to have done much damage. And Harold Covington came up with a very good point. Hal Turner really hasn't done the bowel movement very much damage at all. He's better than Trader Glenn Miller. Because he has not even testified against anybody else. He was trying to go ahead and set him up. And this bowel movement of ours is just filled with what I call Hal Turnerism. Okay, I might go ahead and okay. Anyway. I'm listening. I'm looking at the chat line real quick. Okay. Well, I have one backup computer. I'm pretty well saving the. I'm doing the talk show on the old computer, and I'm pretty well just reading the new one. And as a result of my computer going ahead and going south on me, for the virus. I went ahead and I only lost about a week's worth of data, probably less than a week's worth of data, when you count, idiot emails with Nigerians trying to have me send them money and all this sort of stupid crap. So I didn't really lose hardly any data at all. But where was I? The thing about it is that now I have a sort of a new computer in that I went ahead and nuked the old one and put the restore disk in, and now I have a computer like I had when I took it out of the box nearly 2 years ago. But on the other hand, it still has a few bugs. It's trying to go ahead and have me shut it down, and I'm not going to. But anyway, Covington makes the point that Hal Turner really didn't do the bowel movement any great damage. He was a clown. He was a fool. the thing about it is I'm still wondering if sci-fi favorite was the Zogbot all along, and it could go either way. You see, sci-fi used to tell me that you need to go ahead and get on the Hal Turner network here, and from what I gather, old Hal Turner was hitting old Sci-Fi Faber up for about $100 a month. And here's Sci-Fi protecting old Hal Turner from niggers and Jews as a result of what he says on a show. And, oh, yes, Hal calls me up every night and has me come over and hold his hand here to protect him from the niggers and Jews over what he said on his radio show. And there were some people who thought that Hal Turner and Sci-Fi Faber both had Italian wives, so to speak, and that they were sisters or something like that. Now, when I talked to old Sci-Fi, he called me up all the time. And the occasion when I'd call him up, his wife would answer. Sci-Fi's wife made it quite clear that she was 100% wop pussy, and she had no interest in Sci-Fi's hobby. And I'd listen to Sci-Fi and his little sister, Mary Fagan, horseshit, and all this sort of thing, and think, no, this thing doesn't go over well out here in Christian Identity country. But, no, I mean, you know, the thing about Sci-Fi is that he wants to be a leader, but the man's a total buffoon. He has no idea what he's talking about, and he doesn't really have any real sense. And he might very well side with Zog if Zog would give him a church or something to lead. But the thing about it is, he's such an overbearing, stupid bastard that, I mean, people, once they figure out the buffoon, they don't want to go ahead and follow him no more. So Sci-Fi, you know, Sci-Fi has that problem. And I don't know, me and Pastor John Britton have always wondered as to whether old Sci-Fi is just a useful tool or a full-fledged Zogbot, and it just goes ahead and depends. Either way, it doesn't really matter because me and Sci-Fi, we don't see eye to eye at all. And Sci-Fi isn't really in danger to anybody unless you're stupid enough to want him to be your leader. He has no morality, he has no concept of what others need him to do. And that's why I've seen among these people claim to be Aryan nations. What you have is you have a bunch of little mamsers, mostly mamsers, want to get in and pretend to be white, an Israelite, sort of like sword mamser. And they show up and they're bigger Jews than the Jews are. And then in addition, they want to go ahead and even if they're wiggers here, they want to be skinheads. They want to go ahead and bring in, you know, they want to go ahead and get an office here. So they send, you know, all these people who claim to be Aryan nations, be it Paul Mullett or Gerald O'Brien, they want you to send them $25, $10 a month. What is that paid for? Well, it pays for their beer, I guess. Pays, you know, maybe for a dollar newsletter, but essentially, most of it is just pure profit. And you hear people over on Ashkenazi Asswipes blog saying that old Paul Mullett went ahead and ran his cell phone bill up to $1,200. This guy who lived, you know, who moved up to Minnesota, said, well, are you the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri? I said, well, yes. He said, well, how do I go ahead and get in your church? And I said, well, I pretty well have a hard and fast rule. You don't send me $25 plus $10 a month, and I don't make you a major general over Minnesota. And that's about what it boils down to. Now, what I have planned for my particular church is getting the AIT course up, and pretty well stripping what was an original comp array as much as possible out of it, and putting it in the same order, and then having a bunch of questions in the back, and then having the answers to those questions so that people will find in one place where I don't have to search all over the place. And that is the bad thing about the free compere sites, is that there is no organization. Somebody went ahead and arranged Bertrand Compere's material into an AIT course. And it happened well before Mike Hallamore came along, because Pastor John Britton said that it was used as a sort of teaching device for an informal seminary around Wesley Swift's time. And that's what we need to do. Now, the thing about it is that what I intend to do is just put it in Word format and then put it in PDF. And then and only then, if I get a number of people who want it, well, I go ahead and probably send it to Hulu or Lulu or Amazon or whatever on these print-to-order things. Essentially, what I'm looking at is around a $25 book. But mainly what I'm looking at is I want people to just go ahead and download it on the Word thing, and to where I don't need to know who they are or where they are, and they learn the basics of dual seed line Christian identity. That is what I am into. You see, my idea is to decentralize this church, but to bring it up from its heresies, because you end up having these heresies when you no longer have a centralizing, committee. Same thing happened with the Worldwide Church of God offshoots. When they got tired of Herbert's bullshit, and they got tired of the Jews, and Herbert Armstrong gave it to them, they went ahead and split up into 100 different communities. Now, I told this guy if he wants to actually talk to someone who might go ahead and be part of his church, who has some notion of Christian identity, he could go ahead and talk to Gerald Flory of Norman, Oklahoma, with his church, with his Philadelphia Church of God. But you still end up getting a bunch of Herbertites. But as far as actual Christian identity people in Minnesota, no, I didn't know where. I don't know where any of them were here. Now, actually, Herbert's bunch is actually sort of Christian Israel, identity, but it's more like British Israelitism. And they want to bring back Herbert. They want to go ahead and bring back Herbert's little tyranny, and I wouldn't recommend that for anybody. I wouldn't recommend that for anybody, okay? The thing about it is that what I seek to do is pretty well get these small congregations able to go ahead and get all compere, or basic compere, or the basic dual seed line Christian identity dogma, and for them to simply download it and study it by themselves. And then, if people want to go ahead and be an above ground minister, we can go ahead and talk. But the first thing to do, and I've come to the conclusion, first thing to do is no need for me to reinvent the wheel. What is needed is what I do very well, is be an editor. I am a very good editor of Resistance to Christian Identity material. So, that's the first thing I do. And the thing about it is I had it scanned on some scanning program. I have it on a CD somewhere. I need to go ahead and dig through those CDs. And one of the things was that the registry on this older computer was getting so big, but now, since I got the thing that's new here, I can go ahead and use all the programs I used to use, and I can go ahead and use it for 6 months, save all my data again, and then just go ahead and kick in the restore program, and I'll have a brand new computer again. But pretty well, that was what I was going to go ahead and talk about Thursday, if the thing had gone ahead and not gone down. But while I'm at it, Well, Matt, let's go ahead and talk about the pisser possums and the rest of them. See, the pisser possum, the pisser possums have pretty well sighted, they're sighting back in with sci-fi Faber again, because you have this one called Solomon, who's also known as Lineal C. Barcelos, who was a big sci-fi supporter against Visser. Now, what happens, sci-fi is getting back together with Gerald O'Brien up in Idaho, and they have this stupid crap idea that they're going to go ahead and build a church, a physical church. Now, same way, this is a more harebrained scheme than Paul Mullett supposedly wanting $5,000 to buy 15 acres in Tennessee. At least with the unimproved property, you can just go ahead and have all your bikers and skinheads and create tars pretty well just treated like an open-air Woodstock. You see, nowadays, you can go ahead and buy portable computers, of course, but you can go ahead and buy rechargeable PA systems. I went ahead and seen that. You have it to where you have some big old speakers just to boost a little bitty, MP3 player. And they sell for, what, $150? You'll see them at Best Buy or something like that. You could do that stupid crap if you wanted to do it. Now, $5,000 for 15 acres doesn't seem a whole awful lot, although it seems sort of like Ron Edwards' Clan of Mamsers again, to where Morris Deeds went ahead and got $1.6 million or something. But Gerald O'Brien, he has a number of notions here that he's going to go ahead and not only get some property, he's going to go ahead and build him another compound and build him a church. And the Tower of Phineas, which looks a lot like a fire tower to me. And the thing about it is, you have that money, that's fine, but what struck me is that old Gerald O'Brien didn't even have an email for his webpage, much less any money. And I'm pretty well convinced that the SPLC gives him 666 shekels so he can go ahead and print up a bunch of idiot flyers and scatter on niggers and beaners and wiggers lawns. And then get the SPLC say, hey, we need you saviors from the Aryan Nations. These Aryan Nations groups here, be it Gerald O'Brien, I mean, that'd be the last one I'd send any money to. If you just have to be a major general or something, you can go ahead and send it to Paul Mullett in Ohio. But what ended up happening is that Pastor Morris Goulet is now out of jail. You end up having the Aryan Nations Church of Jesus Christ Christians pleased to announce we have an alliance with a group that needs no introduction. We are happy that the Church of the Sons of Yahweh, Legion of Saints, and the Aryan Nations Church of Jesus Christ Christian have joined forces to combat the Jews and those who are against the white race as a whole. The alliance will also put the myth that we are the only true continuing church that Pastor Butler and Pastor Ray created. You'll soon see that these other CJCC-AM groups no longer lay claim to this name. Well, dumbass, I'm claiming to this name because it's incorporated in Missouri. And you guys have nothing to say about it. I'm not scared of any little skinheads coming here to Granby. It is also my honor to announce we now have in our ranks a new member that holds the title of world pastor, and that person is Pastor Morris L. Goulet. The man has been the rank and file of the Aryan Nations Church of Jesus Christ Christians since 1993 and has studied under both Pastor Butler and Pastor Ray. I know this man personally. We both started our Aryan Nations membership in Ohio under Pastor Ray. This is truly a great day for the Aryan Nations Church of Jesus Christ Christian, and Yahweh has answered my prayers. So everyone, please welcome Pastor Goulet to our ranks. You may contact him at pastor@aryannations88.com. Hail his victory, and goes ahead and gives a link to the Aryan Nations webpage under Paul Mullett. Okay, folks. Fact of the matter is that Paul Mullett arrives from the August Christ faction. Now, Ray Redfern, along with August Christ, rebelled against Butler, and Ray Redfern came to heel and made his peace with Butler, and Butler went ahead and took him back, but not August Christ. Now, I sort of think it's foolish for Morris Collette to do anything, certainly since he got out of prison. He took a plea bargain. Because probably there's going to be a deal that he behaves himself. And supposedly he got set up by Joshua Caleb Sutter of the Augustus Christ faction. And I think this guy who knew him is Bradley Jenkins. And Bradley Jenkins supposedly is a cokehead just like Collette is. So I don't know. I don't see anything good with two recovering addicts from the same drug hanging, you know, hanging together here. But then again, that's none of my concern, and it's really none of my business. I'd far rather, if you're going to go ahead and, you know, be an Aryan Nation's ass clown, that he goes ahead and goes with Mullet, as opposed to, Sci-Fi and Joe LeBron. We have no idea what's going to end up happening. Somebody's vanity is going to be pricked, and they're going to do whatever the heck they want to do. But on the other hand, I mean, shoot. You know, Morris Collette's a big boy. But, shoot. I mean, there's no such thing, really, as a cured addict. Be it alcohol or be it drugs or anything like that. Once you end up being an addict, because you're an addictive personality, you get addicted to a particular drug, be it alcohol or cocaine or something like that, you've got to understand that you are an addict and that you cannot handle that drug that you used to abuse. I mean, I like my beer once in a while, but, well, it's been really about 2-3 months since I had one, but, you know, I could have one tonight if I wanted one, but I, you know, well, I got other things to do. So, hey, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not addicted to alcohol. So I can go ahead and handle a drink. But I would not hang around people who got you in trouble. You got in trouble hanging around this Joshua Caleb Sutter who went ahead and, you know, here come the FBI cameras, and they're rolling and they're recording you drunkenly plotting to rob banks in Alabama with another, you know, with another 23-year-old kid, and then you get 6 years, and the kid gets 5 years because of a plea bargain, and you want to hang around somebody who originally came from August Christ, who supposedly is a fellow cokehead. It's not smart. This is not smart at all. This is stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But on the other hand, I'm not in charge of what Morris Collette does. Morris Collette wants to get in trouble again. He's, you know, he's perfectly welcome to do so. And I'm gonna go when I go ahead and chat next time I chat. You know, or Pastor John Britton, he can listen to the show himself, find out what Morris Collette is up to. I only found out this about, you know, yesterday. So, for my error, I think it's news to about everybody. But that's supposedly what Collette's going to do. It's Collette's business. It's Collette's business. But there's a lot of people who ain't going to like hearing this, but hey, that's, you know, it's Collette's, you know, business. Okay? Anyway, well, I like beer occasionally. It's just that I haven't got around to drink. I mean, it's sort of pathetic. You have the last can of the case, and the can sits there all by itself. Can sits there all by itself here for the past 6 weeks. You know? What I do is I burn my sensitive papers, but I also go ahead and burn some of the newspapers and burn some of the TV dinner lids and cardboard or something like that, because it goes ahead and burns real good and forms an ash, and you put the ash, you know, you don't want to put plastic on your garden, but I do go ahead and burn the papers or something like that. And usually these 24-pack cases, know, they make a real good trash can to store flat all these papers to get ready to burn them. So, in any case, I don't know where I digressed here. But anyway, we have more on the show. Shout out, Frank Wigger's okay. Yeah, I like Frank Wigger. By the way, Frank Wigger's going to go ahead and get his wish here because I'm playing a modified version of that song that he wanted me to play. And the title is Zog Will Fuck You Up. But anyway, yes, what I need to do is I think it's been really about an hour, and I need to play the theme song. I do need to play the theme song, my dear. Okay? Before 10 o'clock, well, you set the door if you want me to set the door. Don't shout the air conditioner. Anyway, the old lady is getting huffy here. You know, that's just par. You know, when you're living with any woman here, I mean, they all get a little bit huffy, more than a little bit bitchy. Anyway, let's see. I'm gonna go ahead and the better version of it, sort of, you know, on Artist Direct. I can't seem to find it here, so I'm gonna have to use the YouTube version. Calm down, woman. Okay? Anyway, I'm waiting for it to load. So we're going to go ahead and play Where's Your Problem? Wait a minute. Okay, shut the door here, and then, why don't you do that?
We got a Wigger problem. Wigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stood the wigs they'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, their ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering the way Zog used to be. Being long, long stoned on a freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way wiggers run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. The way wiggers run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Yep, wiggers, they run to and fro, and they don't know when to stop, because they're always eating slop. Oh, well. Anyway, that worked out pretty good, and I decided to you know, and go ahead and get her done while I can get her done, okay? Okay, well, I mean, it's going to be God will fuck you up, not, you know, not God will fuck you up, Frank and Wigger. But the thing about it is, I do listen to the chat, because the chat has some very deal. I mean, it's pretty well interactive. Now, running this thing is sort of like, oh, you know, I don't want to go ahead and solve it, but sort of like the audience of the Jerry Springer Show. You end up having audience participation that you don't have, that you don't have in a lot of these, in a lot of these other shows. I've gone ahead and listened to some Chris and Danny shows, and generally what you end up having is in their chat is you end up having everyone there essentially talk about how they are more righteous than everybody else in many cases. And here on this show, you end up having quite a bit of, rather rowdier audience. And old Frank is one of the most rowdy. But on the other hand, you do have audience participation. And I tried to go ahead and listen to it. Okay. Let me see. Alrighty. In any case. Well, I'm listening. You know, I'm listening. The thing about it is that pretty well everybody's allowed on this chat unless they get definitely disrupted here. Like the time that old Wire Bill the Clueless got run off. And then some pisser possum was going ahead and just typing in nonsense and pretty well tying up the chat. If for some reason that, you know, some of your other Christian Identity brethren get on your nerves, well, that's just part of the course here. That's why there's so many Christian Identity churches, and that's why they lapse into heresy so quickly. When there is no centralizing authority. But we don't want a centralizing authority. So as a result, I really don't have any problem with Christian Identity people because they do end up having a bunch of fun. We love our racial religion. And thus we love our white brothers. As long as they, in turn, don't try to go ahead and tell us what to do. Christian Identity is actually the freest religion I've ever seen. Because the assumption is that if you're white, the law of Yahweh is written on your heart. And if since it's written on your heart, you know how to behave. You know how to act. And the surest far way to go ahead and find out when there's an infiltrator or something like that is when they get on and then they insist that they must be the controlling authority. It's sort of like over on 4FAGS Thieves where you have old Mikey Kikey Jukes Calicac having a fit, because somebody is making fun of him about how he's the biggest little whiner in the internet radio movement. Now, this is summer, and as a result, there's fewer people going ahead and being on the internet, so therefore you end up having less audience participation. It ends up going up after school starts, after the summer is over, and the summer is getting pretty well close to being over now. And people will go ahead, more and more and more will come on. But in any case, all right. I'm looking. Yeah, they have Exabert back on 4FAGS Thieves. They end up having a bunch of stuff here. See, all these forums are pretty well, in many cases, they're decaying. Because you end up having a bunch of wiggers. Now, I'm going to go ahead and talk real quick about Hal Turnerism and thus go ahead and get to old, you know, the new Frankenwigger song, Zog Will Fuck You Up. I've been in the style movement for some time now, 16 years. And every single time, you end up having a bunch of people who insist that the revolution will not start until Zog kicks in my door. It won't start at all until Zog kicks in my door. Anybody who goes ahead and talks about armed rebellion against Zog, Babylon, is an agent provocateur. And how dare you say something? How dare you say this or you say that? And this is what happened with Hal Turner. Hal Turner went ahead and convinced himself that he wasn't an informant, but rather that he was a patriot, and that by going ahead and saying all this over-the-top shit, he'd go ahead and get these dangerous people, to listen to him, and then he'd go ahead and lead them right into the jaws of prison, into the jaws of the FBI. Hal Turner actually believed that stuff here. The same thing happened with this guy called Ed. You know, his name was Ed Wolf. I called him Ed the Dog, and then I found out, once I went ahead and harassed him quite some time, he went ahead and admitted that he knew this guy was a federal informant, but New Look listed is to keep out psychotics and genocidal agents like you out of the movement. Out of the movement here. We don't need people like you in this movement. To keep dangerous people like you out of this movement. And that's what Hal Turner went ahead and thought. So as a result, he was a greedy bastard, and there's some people think, you know, his mother's name is Diamond. He's a Jew, and I don't know. He sort of looks like a Michelin, you know, a blonde Michelin is what he looks like. Because from what I gather, it's money that's most important to him. That and supporting Zog and saving Zog from the left here. But what you see is you end up seeing all these Wiggers, and it's mainly not a Jew problem. It's a Wigger problem. You have all these Wiggers who live in New York or Los Angeles or Portland, Seattle, or you know, Oregon or Washington or Seattle, Washington or whatever. And they look upon white people, normal white people living in flyover country, as a bunch of hicks living in flyover country. And you end up having this Toby Keith. Yeah, I was looking at this Ass Clownery, you know, country music Talmud vision that Grant Brewer got on. And you end up having the prototypical hillbilly. It's called Trailerville, I think is what it's called here. About how the trailer trash is going ahead and acting up, and they're playing poker, and, you know, here comes a tornado, and, you know, you go ahead and see this one hick, he has one freaking tooth on his upper jaw, and it blows away. And you end up having Nashville Wiggers looking down on other fellow Wiggers. And that's what happened with old Hal Turner in New Jersey. Well, look upon old Sci-Fi Faber as a total clown, as someone to be used, but who's moral, so hey, he was there to be used. And that's what he did. Probably, maybe he the FBI, because from what I gather, nobody's gone to prison as a result of Hal Turner. See, I like Trader Glenn Fett. Some people, you know, Trader Glenn pathetic snitch here. Hal Turner actually didn't send anybody to prison, as far as we know of. Now, what he was doing is he was going ahead and yapping and yapping and yapping to Zog. But let me get down to what, you know, Harold Covington said. And Harold Covington, in many cases, makes a lot of good sense. Makes a lot of good sense. And I went ahead and reposted it to my forum and a number of others, Stumble In, Beer Barrel, Original Descent. It's called Think Twice Before You Rat. I have a picture of Hal Turner they used to post here, you know, when he was thinner.
Well, old Hal may get thinner, he may get fatter, you never know. Depends on how much ramen noodles, how much cocky he has to suck. And I have it, it's under the Hal Turner Arrest Consolidated thread on my forum. It says, a word to the wise people, if ever you are tempted to become an FBI informant, don't believe a damned word your handler says when he promises to protect you. As soon as you become an informant, embarrassment, the Bureau will wash their hands of you and throw you under the bus in a heartbeat. Ask Hal Turner. Friday the ask Hal Turner. The blog of the Hal Turner family was bitching about how Hal Turner was treated badly, very badly, in jail. He's treated worse than a murderer. He's treated worse than a child molester. He's treated worse than anybody. Why? Because Zog was supposedly scared of Hal Turner. And thus Zog tried to go ahead and break Hal Turner. And I got to wonder if perhaps Zog did break Hal Turner because he got rid of the lawyer who got him the two mistrials. And then he was left with nothing more than a public pretender. Now, part of that might have been that nobody trusted Hal Turner and didn't send him any more money. Why should anybody send money to a traitor? Hal Turner is a traitor. Friday the 13th was indeed lucky for Hal. On August 13th, 2010, after just 2 hours of deliberations, a federal jury of 4 men and 8 women ended a 4-day trial by convicting Turner on a single count of threatening to assault or murder judges. Judge Donald Walter ordered Turner held without bail as a danger to the community. He might somehow get to a microphone, huh? A sentencing date has not been set. Two previous trials on December 7, 2009, and on March 10, 2010, ended in mistrials. Note, Turner's former employers went after him 3 times. If this had been a mistrial, they probably would have gone after him a 4th time. You see, this jury probably was stacked. The thing about it is, those previous 2 juries, they probably were stacked too. The thing about it is, they were stacked with somebody who would go ahead and, declare Hal Turner innocent. Oh, you got to be kidding me. The prosecution called both Turner's handlers, Sergeant Leonard Nerbetsky of the New Jersey State Police and FBI Special Agent Stephen Hogg, and both calmly sat there on the witness stand and swore away the life of the man they had once pretended friendship with and promised to protect from any legal repercussions for the weird internet behavior that he was engaged in at the behest of the FBI. Folks, this may be why Hal Turner didn't catch anybody, because the FBI doesn't know who they're dealing with or what kind of people we're dealing with, and the FBI sort of thought, well, hey, you do this sort of stupid shit in order for us to go ahead and get a, conviction. And as a result, Hal Turner's, silliness was so over the top that nobody took him seriously. Now, I thought I sent him $10, but I learned real quick that you couldn't trust Hal Turner. Something he put on his webpage 10 minutes ago, and I was looking for this, Trader Glenn Miller got caught with Bruno, the Jew transsexual Sasha Cohen, and engaged in embarrassing things, activity. Well, I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. It was gone in 10, it was gone within a half hour when he posted. And then it was stumbling. Now, the thing about it is that you just simply couldn't trust Hal Turner. He was not reliable, ever. And there were a lot of people, even before they supposedly hacked, who thought Hal Turner was a fan. Well, maybe some of this clownishness was FBI clownishness, because the FBI wanted to have a case, and they do such stupid crap that nobody would listen to them. Now, Hal Turner was a complete buffoon. I listened to a couple times, and I was thinking, is this guy serious? Is this guy serious? Is he delusional? Is he on dope or what? Why would anybody listen to him here? But, the thing about it is, it's sort of behavior of sci-fi fable would engage in. You idiot. You don't care for anybody. You want to go ahead and nuke the entire forum?
without giving your own people a chance? What sort of leader is that? And the thing about it is, it's probably the reason Hal Turner never did, in the normal event, really catch anybody, is that the FBI was probably asking him to go ahead and do something so over the top that they'd go ahead and get a conviction rate, and people were just backing off from Hal Turner. Now, some of the stupid crap, like, from my gather, I was reading some stupid crap he used to pull, because I never was much of a Hal Turner listener. Old sci-fi was talking, well, Hal Turner's going to get back on the air, and I got to give him $100 a month. And, you know, Hal Turner ought to treat me better because I'm his protection. I protect him from niggers and Jews every night. He ought to go ahead and do it for free, but he won't. So I want you to come up with your own sermon. You need to go ahead and do this right now, Winston. And I said, well, I'm not ready to do this right now. And the thing about it is that Hal Turner is just a greedy bastard. And, you know, listening in, you know, I listened in to people talk about how they got tired of him when he faked, you know, when he said that he caused an earthquake in Peru or something like that. Well, how do you know Hal Turner caused an, you know, earthquake in Peru? And, oh, well, he got a coup because he went ahead and said that these banks were not secure. And he actually caused a great deal of market, you know, loss, because people thought he had something to do with Turner Network, you know, with Ted Turner, instead of just Hal Turner being that for him. But no, the man was never anything more than entertainment. Never anything more than entertainment. Now, this show here, a lot of it's, but hopefully it's entertainment, but also it means to go ahead and prove a point, to prove or show something. But in any case, you know, the Gospel According to Doofus, maybe I need to go ahead and read that one of these days. Okay? Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, you go ahead and read some of VNN's old posts. They are hilarious. The old Tony, O-P-T-T Tony, I mean, he was sort of hilarious. You know, he was mean to poor old Hal Turner. Old Cal Taylor was whining like he was butthurt. But knowing what you know now, you got to realize that Hal Taylor was just a lag sack of shit. But going on reading. I'm going to finish Carol Covington's things. Police in general and federal law enforcement agents in particular are sociopaths and pathological liars. Well, that's true. But what happens is it's just not your federal law enforcement agents that are sociopaths and pathological liars. The pigs here in Newton County are sociopaths and pathological liars. You have one of them. You have one of them here. He got run out of Anderson, which is about 30 miles to the south of us. Got run out of Anderson, Missouri, because he was using his authority as a cop to pick up little girls. And some little girl said that he did something to her, so he got his ass fired, but he didn't get sent to prison. So what does he do? He comes up to Granby and gets a job, from what I gather. They're criminals. They're criminals. It's not just FBI agents. They're criminals all over. You have a pig, you have a criminal. You have a sociopathic criminal. Because the fact of the matter is that normal people with any morals, don't want to be pigs. And what happens, you end up having one or two doofuses. I met one or two doofuses. They lasted all of 2 weeks there. As soon as possible. Here, I had this guy, nice guy. He was in the military. He was a military pig. He got sent down to St. Louis. He's seen how these St. Louis pigs acted. The ones that showed up after Katrina, looting and doing all this other crap here. You know, the ones that showed back up. He says, well, after I seen what happened in New Orleans, I ain't gonna ever become a police officer. Yeah. You know, he's a naive, you know, kid here. He's working at Nunhouse. He's a nice guy. You know, good thing he wasn't working at Biggs where he gets his ass beat, but you know, hey. thing about it is that normal people cannot stand being police officers, don't want to be police officers. They know that police officers are thugs. So, Harold, you're wrong in that, you know, police in general, shoot, all police, all pig life. And federal agent, law enforcement, no, what happens is that federal law enforcement agent here, he's just a higher class of sociopath and pathological liar. Pigs are all sociopaths, pathological liars. Every single one of them. Because even if they aren't sociopaths and pathological liars, they go ahead and allow it to happen with the rest of them. As far as I'm concerned, one pig commits a crime, the entire department commits a crime. That's pretty well the law of Yahweh. You'd end up having the local king, Ahab or whoever, commit a crime, and then you'd exterminate the entire House of Ahab, the entire regime, and anybody who supported it. And anybody even supported, even by burying these criminals, was deemed to be a criminal himself, and him and his family would be destroyed. And, you know, set out to die and never buried. The dogs and the birds would have a feast whenever there was a regime change. But going on with Covington, they are incapable by their very nature of playing straight with anyone. Well, that's true. Never, ever trust these people. I'm going to say again, never, ever trust these people. They have no sense of honor, no sense of decency or fair play, and no compunction about using other human beings and then throwing them away when their usefulness ends. To a federal agent, it's all about him or her, the bust, their career, their self-aggrandizement. You are nothing but a stepping stone to his or her objective, and when they are through with you, they will toss you aside like an empty beer can or like a wad of used toilet paper. Ask Cal Turner. Looks like he's going to get 10 long years to regret the day he ever trusted an FBI agent. I do not feel sorry for Hal Turner. Don't feel sorry for him at all. As far as I'm concerned, he made his bed, now let him lie in it. Look, family of Hal Turner, the way they treated your husband and father and son is how they treat everybody who fights with Zog. Don't whine about your constipation or your bill of goods rights. What you do with regime criminals is that you skin them alive. You torture them. And you deal with any wigger that supports the former regime. Any fat wigger has a lot of property, who used to be on the county committee or used to be a good Republican or Democrat or whatever, all these election lists are is just a menu for regime criminals. You deal with these people. Because the fact of the matter is honest people don't get into politics. Now, I get into politics. Am I dishonest? No. My purpose of politics is to go ahead and use that as an excuse to further degrade and further hollow out the system. But there's only one of me. Folks, don't trust Zog. Now, where Hal Turner came into it? You know, well, guess number seven, I mean, you know, look, you want to fight with people. I mean, you can fight with people all you want. I don't really care. The thing is, if you're annoyed at people, you have plenty of people. You don't have to come to a show and get indigestion or high blood pressure at all. The thing I get from guest number seven is that I sense a Pharisee who wants to go ahead and find trouble. Not that it matters. Not that it matters. You see, even the best of us, our righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags here, but with a wigger's righteousness is nothing more than filthy menstrual rags. In any case, I went ahead and posted this thing, and you don't have any support. Now, there's some people saying, well, Hal Turner, South Turner has constipation and Bill Good's rights. And the answer is no, none of us have any such thing. There is no such thing. And for those of you, I'll go ahead and send you back to Covington's latest podcast where he said as much. There never was any such thing as a right. There's certain privileges which the government goes ahead and allows you to have because they want your support. Now, in some cases, you know, like the original they had to go ahead and they created themselves a blank check and they brought in the United States and they brought in all the stuff that the anti-federalists said would happen. The federalists, like John Marshall and Alexander Hamilton, said wouldn't happen. And then they went ahead and did exactly what the hell they wanted to do. So it was no little idyllic Eden 220 years ago. Never was. Never was. If you believe it was, then you're a fool. There never was any idyllic little Eden, little heaven on earth created by the constipation Bill of Goods. Never was. In many cases, what ends up happening is far worse than anything that George III ever dreamed of doing. Charles, you know, like Prince Charles. I mean, he's a total doofus here. Total doofus. Thing about it is, he'd probably have some sort of little pit, you know, some sort of little pussy, Bolshevism. But thing about it is, he probably wouldn't go ahead and send anybody to jail just because somebody didn't agree with old Prince Charles. I'm talking about, you know, the little doofus who is Queen Elizabeth's son. Who's probably going to go ahead and be passed over for his son or something like that because he's never going to amount to anything. But in any case, going on, you never had any rights, anything that you're not willing to go ahead and kill Quakers over. Now, this chat room I've got, I mean, it's just pretty well just a bunch of wiggers. So some of them claim to be Christian identity, and they have no idea what they're talking about. And they get all annoyed at me, and they revert, well, you need to be sent back to that nut house. Okay, well, I can have Zoglings tell me that. In fact, you are a Zogling. You are just a wigger. And it doesn't really matter to me. End up having, in this bowel movement, you end up having a bunch of wiggers who don't show up, and a lot of them are Jew trolls. They show up, and they say, well, you're a psychopath, Liz, said you're this, you're that. We dare not go ahead and rebel against Zog. Zog's the most wonderful thing that happened to us. And it is, Fort Wigger, this is as good as it gets. Now, things are falling apart right now. It's not sustainable. But, you know, this, you know, the last 50 years has never been a better time to be a Wigger. This is not the same country that I was born into 52 and a half or some years ago. It's turned into Wiggerland, coast to coast Wiggerville. An open air nut house. That's all it is. It's all it ever was. And, oh, it looks like we end up getting a few people. It's a little bit after 10 o'clock. So, let me see. In any case, I was looking at the chat room. It looks like I got a few people, and I welcome Trash Can Man and maybe a few other people who came by, you know, now this after 10 o'clock. I started the show 2 hours ago. Well, a little bit less than two hours ago because I'm always late. I started the show 2 hours ago, and this will probably be at least one of these epic four-hour chats here. And I'm listening to my podcast. I'm listening to the other podcasts of other people on this on this MP3 player I got at, you know, a sale at Beast Buy. And I've gotten better at speaking than what I was 6 months ago. Well, yeah, 6 months ago. The show started at the end of February, March, April, May, June, July, August. So 6 months ago. And in any case, what I'm talking about is Hal Turnerism. Because you end up having all these people who think they know how the movement has got to go. And we need a great white, we need a bowel movement leader. And you end up having David Duke, of all things, saying that he wants to be president of the United Snakes. Well, look, David Duke, you did such a wonderful job as a state rep. Thing about it is that David Duke running for president is just nothing more than a means of putting money into David Duke's pocket. That's all it is. He's going to go ahead and hit the big times. You have all these people who want to be bowel movement leaders, but they have no leadership ability. All they are is just a bunch of frauds and crooks and thieves. But among them, you end up having wiggers like Hal Turner. And Hal Turner's only strong point, I think, was a sort of glib buffoonery. Being a glib buffoon. And he was very good at that. It's just that sometimes he laid it all so thick that even the true believers got repulsed by it. You know, sort of like too much Limburger cheese on just a rather small cracker. And they'd be overcome by the stench of it. But for all practical purposes, I don't think Hal Turner went ahead and accomplished anything. But you have all these wiggers, and it's called the revolution. Well, you know, the revolution doesn't need to start until the pig lice are kicking in my front door. And that's exactly what it boils down to. The revolution is run on my time and on my convenience. And what happens when the pigs are going ahead and knocking your door? Well, hey, nope, it ain't time to go ahead and declare the revolution. Only when they're knocking on my door is it time to call and declare the revolution. And Edgar Steele, he was bad about that. Hal Turner, he was pretty well screaming and hollering about how you go ahead and do this stuff here. And he'd have Sci-Fi Faber act like his little handholder to protect him from the niggers and Jews that he thought he pissed off. He probably did piss them off, but, you know, I mean, here, even in this country, there's not really any organized counter-political parties like the Bolsheviks, and the Freikorps in Germany, and the Bolsheviks in Russia. There's no such thing. You end up having even your Jews end up being wiggerized, where they're not going to go ahead and kick in the Nazis' door. They're going to go ahead and have their pigs do it for them. In any case, throughout this movement, you end up having people who go ahead and whine like Hunter Wallace did 3 or 4 times. Wow, what a big sociopath I am. And folks, what is going to happen is the same thing that's happened every single time a social order collapsed. And once the social order collapsed, there was not enough food for everybody. There was not enough of anything for everybody. And the question of whether you survived or not was how hard you were, how much foresight you had in saving up enough food for the winter. But all this foresight would do you no good if you allowed the first thug who came by to take your food and leave you to starve to death, or went ahead and, you know, murdered and raped your wife and took your daughters and killed your sons. Foresight is no good without an absolute determination that you are going to live and you are going to do what you need in order to save your family, in order to go ahead and save the means of survival for your family. We're descended from people who did what they had to do when they had to do it. And things are going to get pretty rough pretty quick. And when they fall apart, they're going to fall apart real quick. And most of you won't even know what the heck's happened. A lot of you people just see what's going on, and you have just pretty well checked out already. Now, folks, what I advocate is not the only plan. You know, Harold Cousins says he's the only plan. Well, his plan is sort of like my plan. His is a little bit more proactive with about maybe 100 warlords, whereas mine is more, or 1,000 warlords, whereas mine is pretty well reactive and going with the flow with 10,000 warlords. And pretty well what I'm saying is there's a great tribulation coming. The Bible says there's a great tribulation coming. And except Christ should return, there should be no flesh saved. So what do? Well, you prepare for this day of tribulation. You make sure you have enough, you know, you have enough guns, you have enough food, and you figure out which of your family you want to take with you, which ones need to survive and which ones really need to be told. And you make a hard-bitten decision that you are going to live and you're going to do whatever is necessary to do so so they can be on the other side of the tribulation when Christ returns. Now, if you're not particularly religious, I tell you, follow dual seed line Christian identity because it's the white man's racial hate religion. And folks, whoever's able to go ahead and do a Photoshop here, what I'd like you to do is take a picture of Pastor Butler at his pulpit and then put a black one saying, "This is not your grandfather's racial hate mobile. Get into a new racial hate religion from the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri." Any of you a pretty good, you know, Photoshop. But I've seen these pictures of some, you know, these pictures of, you know, something going on. Then there's a black border with printing on it here. If any of you have any ability to go ahead and do that, send a copy of it to PastorLinstead@gmail.com. Okay? And if you want, I'll give you an honorable mention on the air. Okay? If you really want, I'll make you a major general as long as you're outside of Missouri. How's that? You only have to pay $25 and $10 a month here. I'll make you a major general. Now, that's why I told this guy here. I said, "Well, one of the deals of my church is that you don't send me $25, and I don't make you a major general. But if you have something to go ahead and give in kind, well, I can go ahead and do that." Okay. All right. Hunter Wallace, I call him the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know what I mean? And the thing about it is you just can't trust the goofy little bastard. You can't trust him at all. Because what he'll do is he'll go ahead and convince you you're his friend here. At the same time, he don't want to go ahead and do anything rough. He don't want to do anything, you know, tough. He's bitching about the Knoxville rally. Now, folks, I didn't have much use for the Knoxville rally. The purpose of the Knoxville rally was to go ahead and cement Jeff Shoup's hold on his little skinhead clowns. Jeff Shoup is having a problem because everybody's talking about Ambergate. From what I gather, you know, Jeff Shoup's, what, second or third or how, you know, whatever number wife has a little nigger. Was married to a nigger before, and she squeezed out a nigglet named Amber, and they call it Ambergate. And Ashkenazi activist, I imagine Ashkenazi asswipe, he has problems because guess what? You not only have the supporters of Pastor Linstead posting, times for the movement turned to his blog, you end up having all the people who don't like, you know, like Rocky Saboya or something like that. And you have a bunch of people who, Chester Bowles or whatever the heck, who do not like Jeff Shoup and Paul Mullett posting a bunch of stuff to Ashkenazi activists for them. And the purpose of that NSM thing mainly was, if you go ahead and look at it, was to go ahead and show that they're loyal to Commander Shoup. And it doesn't really matter whether or not he has a race mixing wife and a and a Niglet stepchild or whatever. No, it don't really matter. And to true believers, it don't really matter. Well, Hunter, he goes ahead. He made fun of biological racists, and biological racists, totally dodgy character. I call them creative. I call them coontarded, congenitally creatarded. Essentially, the guy pretends to be, they know so much about Christian identity, but essentially he's just a creatard. And you go ahead and deal with creatards, usually you're dealing with people who know full well they can't go ahead and get in Christian identity because they're mamzers, they're Anglo mestizos. So they whine, they bitch, and they piss, and they moan like they're going to take down Christian identity, and they understand that Christian identity is not the same as Judeo-Wigger insanity. But yet they deliberately try to go ahead and join it in the little beginning Wigger's mind here. See, Spumfront VNNF here are not really movement forums. Near as four fag seats. All it is just a bunch of middle-aged Wiggers, wannabes, playing at being badasses. Sort of like all these little fat bikers and all these little fat lawyers and the rest here. George Carlin made fun of going to Sturgis and putting their little Harleys on a trailer and then driving up to Sturgis. And from my guess, Sturgis was last week. Driving up to Sturgis and pretending to be big, bad 1% bikers, tough guys. Some little fat lawyer or some other little fat goomer, banker, whatever, pretend to be a badass. Well, that's what VNNF is, I mean, a third of it is Jews. John Nugent went ahead and pointed out quite clearly that during Jew Holy Days, their VNNF posting goes down by about a third. You end up having old J.P. Slobodzewski and old Friedrich W. Braun revealed they were a bunch of Jews when it came down to it. Once they revealed they were Jews, they were gone. They were pretty well done for. They went ahead and did some other stuff here once they became older little Jews. But no, you're a little, I was looking over Sperm Front about Hal Turner. And they came down for about 45 posts before some little Wigger moderator shuts it down because guess what? We're talking bad about people. We're talking bad about people. Really? Look, folks. These forums are just, in most cases, just a waste of time. Now, my forum, I go ahead and post. It's the number one spot where I post my ideas. And, oh, by the way, for those of you who are looking for Pastor Linstead's Christian identity writings, there's not going to be any Pastor Linstead's Christian identity writings because the fact of the matter is Pastor Linstead is a he doesn't come up with new dogma. Pastor Linstead isn't going to come up with any new dogma. He isn't going to come up with any Christian identity dogma at all. What Pastor Linstead is going to do is what Pastor Linstead said he was going to do, and he's going to go ahead and simply edit Bertrand Comparé in order to avoid any possible any conflicts, although Mike Halamore does not have the copyright. I'm going to go ahead and strip off all the little fancy woodcut letters and stuff like that that doesn't need to be in there. Now, essentially, in one spot, you're going to have Bertrand Comparé starting out and then coming to an end. And at the end of it, you will know about 85% of what you need to know. In fact, all of what you need to know if you claim to be dual C-line Christian. That's pretty well what I have intention of doing. In any case, I noticed that a few people came up, and if you guys want to go ahead and call in, well, that's fine with me. I'll go ahead and keep an eye on the, chat. I'm Paul Fromm Linstead. From what I gather, he's some Canadian lawyer or something like that. He doesn't do, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't really do anything. He's just over on Stormfront. And essentially, he's not really a movement personality or movement leader. He's just somebody who, I don't know what he does. The thing about it is, this was mainly a gossip show, and it's probably a good thing that there's no reason to gossip about Mr. Fromm or anything like that, because there really is no point to it. Of course, I don't see Mr. Fromm doing much of anything other than being a lawyer. I mean, if he was to go ahead and help Edgar Steele, why, that might, you know, that might be something useful. Well, he just does the anti-immigration stuff here. Well, there are some Canadians listening to the show. Well, the thing about it is that Paul Fromm is anti-immigration. You know, I'm anti-immigration. You know, I don't want to, you know, I mean, we have too many beaners now. Now, I imagine he has a whole bunch of little wogs and, you know, stuff from the former British Empire who are fleeing their crap holes in India and Pakistan and the rest here, and they have no business in Canada or Great Britain. But on the other hand, I really don't know very much about Paul Fromm or anything like that. So really, I can't really say anything, you know, against him here. If he doesn't name a Jew, well, then, hey, he doesn't name a Jew. That isn't what he does. And as a result, there's a lot of people who don't name a Jew. I mean, this show don't really have anything on Jared Taylor. I mean, I go ahead and read some of his free American Renaissance stuff. Well, essentially, all it is just a bunch of wiggers saying, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed. In saturation, it was just pretty well said, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed. I have better things to do than wallow in negativity. What I end up trying to do is tell people there's a great tribulation coming on. You make sure that you're ready for it. You make sure you are as ruthless as you need to be in order to go ahead and save yourself. But I'm going to go ahead and get back to Hal Turner. What is funny is that there really never was or was even possible any movement discipline of Hal Turner. Hal Turner had a perfect right to be as big a buffoon as he wanted to. He had Sci-Fi Faber, you know, holding his hands or, you know, holding his pecker or whatever. But when it came down to it, Hal Turner was never threatened by anybody at all. And what is funny is that Zog is the one who has disciplined Hal Turner. Hal Turner was probably told, go ahead and scream and holler, and then when you end up getting some dangerous nuts, you tell us who they are. Unless you provoke them into doing something, just like the Hutterese militia was provoked into doing something. What's Hal do? He goes ahead and goes along with that. But then he goes ahead and talks about the, you know, things about shooting these federal judges. These federal judges were actually wrong. They upheld the Chicago gun ban that the Supreme Court a couple months ago said was not allowed. Oh, Hal Turner and the Supreme Court is actually on the same side and against the 6th District? The 6th or 7th Circuit Kangaroo Courts of Appeals in Chicago? The toddling town. Oh, by the way, I sort of slept through. I went ahead and recorded it tonight. It was a Dateline whining about poor niggers being killed. Niggers killing niggers. Sort of slept through it. You know, whine. White man around and hear niggers killing one another. And here are these people whining. About how awful it is, and you end up having this one nigger talking about it, and generally, niggers refer to a sort of nigger who was talking about how he was going to go ahead and get himself a job as a gang prevention member. They call such people hustlers. See, about every nigger, he don't like working. He don't like working in the field. As he looks at it here, his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather picked enough freaking cotton in the hot sun or these dirty crackers to where, as they think of it, not only does the nigger owe them a does the white man owe the nigger a living, but if they can possibly help it, they're not going to do an honest day's work in their entire life. So they hustle. It's called hustling. And niggers can sense a nigger hustler a mile off here, but in Africa, nigger men, all they do is hunt and fish and fight with each other, and chimp out. The nigger women are the ones who have to go ahead and not only bear the babies and raise the nigglets to be full-fledged nigglets. They got to go ahead and they're the ones that do all the nigger work, all the agricultural work. Nigger males do not believe in working. So what they got to do is they got to have beer and, crack money somehow. So what they do is they hustle. And I've seen a few, a bunch of nigger hustlers. And you get to go ahead and see niggers. I've seen niggers in their natural state to where they weren't pretend to be anything other than niggers. When I was in the nut house. Most of these niggers are so far divorced from reality that they don't even know how to go ahead and keep a pretense of being anything other than niggers. I hadn't seen that, and this is the sort of stupid crap that goes in Chicago. See, they have laws, so the white man can't keep a gun in his house to shoot worthless niggers who are doing a home invasion. Now, the Supreme Court finally ruled that the wiggers could go ahead and keep guns in their own house. There couldn't be a total blanket ban on guns because, as they knew it here, that the wiggers would not go ahead and obey that law because if you go ahead and obey these gun laws and you live in a shithole like Chicago or the District of Congoids or Detroit, not that you do, because stupid niggers think the white man has plenty of money, although stupid niggers never stop to realize is that any wigger living in a shithole among the niggers is a wigger who don't have no money. Because if he had any money, he wouldn't live around niggers. But in any case, the Supreme Court ruled that the white man could go ahead and have guns to protect himself from niggers. But the Arizona court went ahead and ruled that the Arizonans can't protect themselves against all these worthless beaners. And I'm listening to the stupid news to where you have these Jews, mainly on MSNBC. I like to listen to MSNBC because it gives me an undiluted, shot of 96-proof, undiluted wigger, liberal wigger. Whereas Fox News, the Bushy channel, it has wigger, but it has sort of stupid Republican wigger. And if I want to go ahead and look at Republican wigger, all I have to do is go to the courthouse here. So anyway, I used to go to the Obongo channel, MSNBC, and listen to wiggers. They're talking about how they have to change the 14th Amendment, which is bullshit. All it is just an interpretation of this sort of stupid crap. But anyway, you end up having among the bowel movement, you end up having people like Hunter Wallace and the rest here who talk this stupid crap. Hey, guest 19, thanks. I really appreciate that. Let me see. Oh, Pastor Bill. Oh, well, Pastor Bill, Liar Bill showed up. Oh, he's looking for people to go ahead and do it. Oh, so which means me here is that, and Pastor Bill, you're mentioned in the, he come and gone. Well, Liar Bill DeClueless is mentioning in this little song called Zog Will Fuck You Up here. You know what I mean? He gets one line along with the Ober Pisser Puster Possum. Okay? So, anyway, the thing about it is, in this bowel movement, you never have no shortage of wiggers. And every single time, it boils down to the revolution dare not start till the Zog pig lice are bouncing on my door and carrying me out screaming and hollering here to where I'm going to go ahead and be punked out here for a bunch of for a pack of ramen noodles here, and I'm going to have to go ahead and suck up to the Aryan Brotherhood because I don't want to give my ass to all the niggers. And the thing about it is, the Pillsbury Doughboy will fade.
probably within 6 months, if he ever went to prison, he'd end up having not only, you know, at the age of 30-some, he'd be the oldest living Wigger punk. And you have a big old eagle and a swastika on his back and two double S rooms on each butt cheek here. That shows he's eager and willing to learn and to please. So you got to laugh at all these Wiggers who talk this stupid crap about what a big silent sociopath I am. Look, folks, I have this little sign saying don't fuck with the Great Tribulation, but the fact of the matter is neither me nor Zog is going to be able to stop one bit of it coming to pass. And all I'm telling you folks here, if you're listening, is to look after yourselves and to take care of yourselves. It don't do any good how much food you store up if you let every single freaking pig come in and confiscate it in the name of the town or the Jews or whoever, and they take that food out of your mouth and you starve to death. Or what they do is they kill you and take your food. Or the niggers kill you, rape you, and eat you. And then eat your food. Have you as the main course. It don't matter how much you think ahead. If you're not tough enough and not willing enough to defend your own, and if you're not willing to go ahead and destroy Zog and Zog's spawn in order to defend yourself and in order to go ahead and pay them back for what they did to you, you have no business living. The reason I live is that, hey, my little grandchildren were taken away. I hope they're not being turned into wiggers, but chances are they were. And what's my solution? Is to exterminate every pig, every lawyer, every bankster, and certainly every social worker and their spawn. You need to send them, you know, they need to be sent screaming to hell. And rather than whine and piss and moan about what Zog is doing to you, you need to worry about what you're going to do to Zog. That's what needs to happen. Zog needs to be scared shitless of you. Sort of like this little pig named Ghetto, who I seen, the week before last. He ran out. He ran out of the Ramies. Didn't even pay for what he was ordering because he seen me fishing out my cell phone camera. He didn't want his picture taken. He sort of thought that his picture was taken, everybody know what a big pig he was. Okay? Anyway, Frank Wigger, you're right here. You are right. You are right. You are right. And besides, it's 10:36, and I do need to go ahead and get around to playing it. So, folks, said spying on me? Oh, hell, every freaking night. Probably tonight, right now. Okay? Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play this song here called Zog Will Fuck You Up here. And let me see. Where is it? Okay, so the movement, it's under the thread, the movement turned top 40. Okay? Zog Will Fuck You Up. Hold up. Okay, it takes a while. It used to be called God Will Fuck You Up, but anyway. Okay, come on. All right. Oh, there was a dork named Hal. He thought the pippies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. Party threads and judges three, a jury flock, oh, Hal CP. So Hal's gonna be my dick, Wigger bitch. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you better be your belling while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn led his comrades over it again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bugs. A little Guido loves Zog fuck, creatures, tickles, and cocksucks. The colossal meatbag's name is VNM. Dog will fuck you up. Yes, dog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, dog will fuck you up. Yes, dog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. I used to know a possum named Visser, a doofus named Goobing Visser, who was going after mouth with Ryan Wong, a bump-studded niggly molester, and a pisser possum chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you better be rebelling while you can. Well, anyway, how did that go? Oh, well. You happy you were Patrick Wigger? You know what I mean? What happens, folks, is that, you know, shoot, maybe it's time for a freaking encore here. Let me see. What happens, folks, is that there's nothing to prevent you from going ahead and creating your own little lyrics. Okay? Hold on. I'm going to go ahead and play it again here. Titled, Zog Will Fuck You Up. And while I'm waiting here, I mean, I was pretty well getting on Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder, but I also got down on the Pisser Possum, too. Okay? Let's start out with Hal Turner. Hold on. There was some dork named Al who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal's teepee. So Hal's gonna be my dick, Wigger bitch. Zog will fuck you up. Yes, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yes, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over again, but Zog gave him a bag full of Zog sauce. A little Guido loved Glenn Fox, bunches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy's bag is VNM. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you better be rebelling while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a doofus named Goobering Visser. He was going out to mouth with Ryan Wong. A mum that a jingling molester, a pisser, possum chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you better be rebelling while you can. Anyway, I think that's going to go ahead and It's gonna be the movement turds top 40, okay? Huh? Don't tell Jarrell. Yeah, well, I bet old Jarrell is gonna have a cow if he hears that here. But Jarrell he means well here, but he's what Covington and I call him. I call him a deep fried shit, southern fried shit head with pork fat between the ears. I mean, you can't tell them nothing. You know what I mean? They go ahead and side with Mamzers like, Judas the Juice and Sword Mamzer and the rest, and think that these characters, if they really looked, they'd know to show their countenance was ruled against them, but you can't tell these people nothing. You really can't.
I mean, they're not able to learn nothing. If they're able to learn nothing, they will learn something. Wouldn't you think? But anyway, hold on. Let me go ahead and see how my chat's doing. Okay, hold on, folks. Let me go ahead and drop this phone for a minute. I didn't name the Muslim here. See the Muslims, they're only dangerous if you let them in your country. They're not dangerous in Iraq or Afghanistan, except to zoggling jukes. They're dangerous if they're allowed in this country. And you hear about all this stupid crap about the Muslim mosque, you know, at Ground Zero or something like that. Look, folks. I never gave a crap for Jew York. Never gave a crap for Jew York. And I knew full well that it was the Jews and Zog, which allowed this shit to happen. I mean, there are some people who believe, and I'm one of them, that in many cases, those planes were flown into by remote control into that. And essentially, the Jews wanted it to happen. It's just like another 9/11. It's sort of like another Oklahoma City. And actually, I sort of knew some of the people, you know, who were secondary participants in Oklahoma City and knew of them anyway. Never really met any of the principal, you know, never met Timothy McVeigh, never met Dennis Mahan, or, well, I did meet the Reverend Bob Millar, you know, of Elohim City. I met a bunch of people there, and most of them were nice people. Most of them were nice Christian identity people. I mean, real Christian identity people. But everybody knew Bob Millar was not, you know, was snitching for Zog. And, you know, son-in-law Larry, you know, James Ellison was snitching for Zog. Everybody knew that he was snitching for Zog. Why was he snitching for Zog? Well, it wasn't for money. It was because he didn't want his family murdered. You know, family is supporters murdered like David Koresh was. So, if you don't want to go ahead and be reported by, Dr. Robert Millar, don't show up in Elohim City. Really, really simple here. You know, he gave me his card, and I said, well, I'd think about it, but I had no intention of going down there, and certainly I'd have no excuse to give Louis Beamer catch a lane for going down there. I mean, everybody knew what the deal was. So like Hal Turner, if you knew Hal Turner was a rat, well, just say Hal Turner's a rat. But, probably if I'd known about TalkShoe and I'd known about Hal Turner, I'd probably be making fun of Hal Turner big time right now, you know, back then. But, hey, Hal Turner was a little bit, well, he wasn't really before my time, but most of the time when he was acting, doing all these ass climbing tricks here, I was in the nut house. I'm looking at this, I'm laughing my head at this. I was reading a little account by these 4chan people. And before I get it, a bunch of just Jews and Wiggers who were making big-time fun of Hal Turner, and they were thinking that they were destroying Hal Turner. The answer is they weren't destroying Hal Turner. What happens is that the Pibbies had to make it quite clear that how, you know, make it pretend that the Jews were against Hal Turner. And most of the Jews were. You know, the FBI doesn't tell every little Jew what's going on. So you end up having these 4chan people thinking that Hal Turner was a big bad Nazi when all he was just a fat ass clown. You know what I mean? Well, there was a bunch of people there, you know, at Elohim City. You have people coming and going. I mean, I was invited there. I decided I wasn't going to go, you know, I mean, there was no point for me going there. I mean, everybody knew about what was going on. See, Zog knew all about Tim Vivey heading toward, you know, heading toward the federal building in Oklahoma City. It used to be part of the little thing is that if we blow up any federal buildings, the order would be in Tulsa or Oklahoma City. I don't know why in Oklahoma City or why in Oklahoma. Essentially, most of the Okies there are just a bunch of Anglo mestizos that sort of love Zog, but there's a few Jews in the big towns, Jew lawyers, pretty well screwing over people and doing what Jews do, but most of the time you get into where Ottawa County, you'll see a bunch of Anglo mestizos who used to be part shit ass or whatever, but they're just like sheep. They're not really on any side or the other. They're just there. So, I'm still wondering why federal buildings in Oklahoma. But Zog knew because the raid was coming. And if you go ahead and read the trial transcript or something like that, where they claim that Tim McVeigh, along with Terry Nichols, went ahead and created the bombs, well, there's some reason to believe that actually the FBI, or Zog, went ahead and created the truck bomb. And that they wanted the windows to go ahead and blow up while they set off a second charge on the construction pillars in order to go ahead and have a real body count. And Zog doesn't care about his little wiggers, that work for him, his little mamsers, little muds that work for it. As I look at it, it's just near Pearl Harbor. Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew all about the Japanese heading toward Pearl Harbor. He wanted 3,000 Americans and a bunch of old, obsolete battleships to be destroyed. So he could have a war with Japan that he'd been planning for the 9 years that he'd been president previously. And he wanted to go ahead and drag Germany into the war and have as part of the Jew bankster system, the war against Hitler that the Jews declared on Germany in 1933. And you got to realize is that getting whoever's weaker, whoever Zog has on the bottom, has always been a Zog trick. Same way at Fort Sumter. Same way against the Spanish. Remember the Maine? Same way. With Lusitania, same way with Pearl Harbor, same way with Oklahoma City, same way with 9/11. Zog doesn't think up any new tricks. It just does the same old tricks here, and the Uyghurs fall into line. Now, the thing about it is like Robert Friend said, this is not 1941 America. It's pretty well a multiracial country with just a bare minimum of Uyghurs supposedly be in power, but not be in power at all. Uyghurs are losing their jobs and their savings quicker than anybody else. Zog isn't sustainable. Things are falling apart. And that's why I tell people, I said, don't worry about what Zog is going to do to you. Let Zog worry about what you're going to do to them. And rather than have Zog see you coming, you keep your mouth shut. If you're going to do something, do something. If you're not, keep your mouth shut. Thing about it, what's funny about it is that Hal Turner, for all his little provocations, couldn't find any Uyghur, either brave or stupid enough, for him actually to go ahead and report on. And that may have been the reason. That may have been the reason that old Zog decided to go ahead and screw Hal Turner. Because of all the money they gave Hal Turner, they weren't getting very much a return on investment, now were they? They weren't getting any return on investment. They probably thought that Hal was just a lying, thieving buffoon. Probably thought, oh, shoot. Well, what happens? We should know better than trust some Uyghur buffoon here with a mother whose name was Diamond here. Good Lord, we got Jude is what we got. We got Jude by a lying, thieving buffoon who thought he was the fourth stooge.
I mean? Larry, Moe, Curly, and Hal. Now Hal is just sort of sitting here, and he's probably crying himself here, and he's in shock, because I know what it's like, you know, to be falsely accused, but, you know, Hal really was sort of falsely accused, but, you know, not really. I mean, he's the one. He's the one who went ahead, brought himself into the system. He's the one who decided to become a snitch, and not only a snitch, an agent provocateur. But what's funny is that it wasn't the bowel movement which enforced any discipline on Hal Turner. It's his own little handlers, his own little dog. And part of the reason, I think, was that Hal was just a thieving, lying buffoon, probably a little half-Jew buffoon, who went ahead and ripped Zog off for a couple $100,000. And then guess what? Well, okay, we got Sci-Fi Faber, but Sci-Fi is a clown here. What happened, Sci-Fi is just a witless clown who's a landscape, who's pretending to be Aryan Nations, and nobody believes he's Aryan Nations. So what happens, all we got is Sci-Fi Faber. And Sci-Fi is a clown. What'd they have the show for? Nothing. So that's probably why they went ahead and lowered the boom on, you know, Hal Turner. Now that's not what they should have done. They should have just simply let it be, and pretty well kept their mouth shut, especially after they lost the second trial. But instead, what they did is they pushed through a trial with a public pretender that everybody knew was a setup, and probably with a stag jury. Essentially, it's teaching people, don't rat for Zog. Just like Harold Covington says, don't rat for Zog. Because if you do rat for Zog, you will be screwed here. You know? And essentially what Harold Covington said, in all seriousness, I said in jest, you know, under Zog will fuck you up, because Zog will fuck you up. The devil doesn't care for his minions or even his spawn. He just uses them. Just like those FBI agents used Hal. Thing about it is, those Hal sort of used them too. He went ahead and collected a bunch of money. As far as I can tell, as far as Covington can tell, there's not been any payback for it. None. All you got was, you know, if you send money to Hal Turner, yeah, I was thinking of sending him $10, but that was before I found out that he was a rat. You know, because, you know, pretty well I just kept my mouth shut for 4 weeks about Sci-Fi's little crooked antics, Sci-Fi Faber's crooked antics. Kept my mouth shut for about 4 weeks because I didn't want to get Hal Turner in trouble. But, you know, the more I thought about it, and then once I found out it was a rat, I decided, well, shoot, I'm not going to send that $10 check in. You know what I mean? I'm not going to send that $10 check in. In fact, I'm not going to send Hal Turner any money at all. In fact, now that I think of it, I'm sort of glad the old Sci-Fi went ahead and screwed on shit on me a full week before he got arrested by the feds. I mean, but you end up having old Pisser Possum and Sci-Fi Faber. They were plotting to go ahead and kick me out, and then they betrayed each other. Or Sci-Fi, or Visser went ahead and betrayed old Sci-Fi, because Visser is a smarter criminal than Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi is just an idiot. Now, he might be a Zogbot, but I don't know. I mean, he's pretty stupid, Sci-Fi is. I mean, he don't have a brain in his freaking head. In fact, what he does, Sci-Fi is looking for a parade to run out in front of, so he can be leading the thing, and the bunch of y'all. And it wasn't just me; it was this guy in Texas named Henry, and this other guy in Tennessee. Will say, "What's wrong with Sci-Fi?" I said, "Hey, look, if you don't want to be bossed by Sci-Fi, just tell Sci-Fi to blow it out of his ass." And that's pretty well what Henry did. Well, you know, Henry, you know, Sci-Fi was all pissed off. They accused Henry of being a fed. And he went ahead and created a whole bunch, you know, he went ahead and got a whole bunch of, you know, wiggers and the rest of the stuff here. And see, there's people who want to be part of a Christian Identity Church. And you explain to them is that unless you are really born into it, what you need to do is that you need to found your own church.
Because it would be rather unjust of me if I did know of any underground Christianity organizations. Just go ahead and tell somebody just called me up who I don't know from Adam who they are, where they live, and what they believe. Folks, I don't spy. I don't inquire. I do not inquire your name unless you're somebody like Sword Mamser who I want to go ahead and find out his name so I can go ahead and fuck you up. You know what I mean? Generally, if you're just somebody ordinary, I don't really want to know your name. I don't have any curiosity about your name. In fact, I do not want to find your name. And if you send me an email, and I don't really need to know your name, I'll do just like I did for years. I'll go ahead and cut and paste what you wrote and send it out, and then I'll go ahead and delete your name. And I'll delete that email, and if I get around to it, I'll defrag the hard drive. Because I don't need to, if I don't need to know who you are, I don't want to know who you are. I don't have any curiosity. And I pretty well learned that by reading this book by this dirty Jew named Menachem Begin, who explained, called The Revolt, when he explained how he successfully ran his Irgun operation. Yes, Menachem Begin was a dirty kike, murderous kike, but he was a successful kike. And that's one thing he said is he pretty well had to teach his fellow Jews, don't be nosing in people's business, because you don't want stuff. And what you don't know, you can't tell. And that's exactly, I took a lesson from that dirty kike. You don't snoop around. You don't ask people's business. You don't want to know who they are. It's none of your business. Now, there might be a couple of you who want to be a Christian identity minister. And, the thing about it is I might go ahead and print the order. But right now, what I'm working on is first coming up with a word, a rich text file. That word, a rich text file. So you can go ahead and understand what you're supposed to understand about dual feedline Christian identity. And then once you understand, stand it if you want. The next step is to go ahead and create a PDF file, which you can go ahead and, read. And then, and only then, maybe a print order thing here. But really, I'm not sure if I really want to do that because, Barnes & Noble don't need to know what you think or what you do. You know what I mean? But we'll see. We'll see. But pretty well that's pretty well what I've decided to do. And then later on I'll go ahead and write a political book about the political aspects of dual feedline Christian identity. But for now I think the best thing to do is just become an editor. And rather than reinvent the wheel, go ahead and have people understand what basic dual feedline Christian identity is about. So you folks who've gone ahead and asked about my Christian identity writings, well, guess what? I don't have any Christian identity writings because I'm not going to go ahead and make up any new heresies. I'm not going to go ahead and make up any new bullshit. Some people might ask me what I think, and I'll tell them. But I'm not your policeman. Don't want to be. In fact, if I'm any like any broadcaster, I'm sort of like old Gene Scott used to be when I used to see him on the TV channel that came out of Kansas, off of Channel 7. And, I don't know. When people send him money, I don't see why. But in any case, don't send me any money. I don't need your money. But unlike Judas Giles, who said he didn't need money, and now he's decided he needs a whole bunch of it, and he's competing with David Duke, and old Judas Giles don't understand that David Duke, at least for all his faults here, being a crook, the Duck, has some leadership ability, whereas old Judas Giles is absolutely none. In fact, Judas Giles, it depends on who talked to him last as to what is in Judas Giles' little head. And I'll listen to see what he says about trader Alex Lender. But I was listening to yesterday's broadcast, and he's going to confront Lender. So maybe he confronted Lender today, and I haven't heard about it. But, by the way, I found out that Hadding is the name of Dr. William Pierce's Siamese cat. It's so pathetic when you have such thieves who are so idiotic that they name themselves after the fearless leader's animal. Now, folks, I don't know, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed. If any of you who listens to me here, they go ahead and get online and refer to themselves as Beelzebub. Beelzebub, he's sitting on my lap, the little flea bag. And what happens is that he probably couldn't care one way or the other here. But I just assume I don't want any of Pastor Lindstedt's followers to refer to themselves as Beelzebub or Buddy the Poopy Dog. Well, somebody calls himself Poopy Dog. I don't really care about that. That's sort of a joke name. Or Lil Cujo, and certainly not Beelzebub, okay? All right? I mean, you ought to have some sort of a life, unlike old Hattie. And from my gear, old Judas Giles is thinking of letting Hadding out of the Jew, out of this tarred corral, you know, but not Wiggerswill. So anyway, getting on that here. Anyway, me. That's no, yeah. Okay, hold on. I'm looking at this. Anyway, I want to be at Oakleaf and Cross Pistols. Well, I don't know, Frank and Wigger. You already got me to go ahead and sing you a song here. And I want to thank Frank and Wigger right now for giving me a heck of a good idea for a song. Now, maybe as time goes on, I'll have time to sit down and learn how to play the actual guitar as opposed to sort of a bass guitar. And that, you know, I mean, didn't really learn super much about how to play a bass guitar. It's been, 4 years since I played the bass guitar. You know, I finished up at the end of August playing at, what the heck was it? It was a summer thing at the Nut House that I went ahead and played it. So I probably forgot how to play the bass guitar. But I need to go ahead and learn how to play guitar here. And I want to go ahead and sing songs like I Want to Gail Dixenbert and a few other ones too. Brad Paisley's I Want to Check You for Ticks. Well, I'll go ahead and sing I Want to Gail Dixenbert to that here. And the country version will be I want to Gail Liar Bill. You know, but the rock and roll version will be I Want to Gail Dixenbert. And I think I have a few other songs here. I sort of liked how Zog Will Fuck You Up turned out. It turned out pretty good here. I went ahead and got a lick on Hal Turner, and I got a lick on old Trader Alex and Trader Glenn Miller, and I got a lick on the Pisser Possums here. So I named the major Pisser Possums. But what's going on, you know, in among Aryan nations is pretty well the same little alignments that always, you know, that's always gone ahead and happened. And they'll probably break up because every little Wigger does something different. From what I gather, Gillette is going with Paul Mullett. And Paul Mullett has a wonderful idea of going ahead and getting $5,000 to buy 15 acres and having a little rally ground, a little fairground or whatever. And that might not be such a bad idea, although it probably won't work out very good, knowing how Nazis are. And somebody said that old Mullett went ahead and came up with a $1,200 phone bill, which seems about the size of, Flieger Bowel Movement Planning. You see, folks, this particular show, it's my cell phone. But when the minutes are free and I have the cell phone plugged up, and I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and lose very much money on this deal. In fact, I'm not going to lose any money on this deal. And since I went ahead and got supposedly a new computer as a result of rebooting rebooting the disk, I've been able to download WavePad and cut all these 64-bit programs to 16-bit. So that means that instead of being 194 bits here, they're only about, 6 or 7 megabytes. So you can store lots and lots and lots of them on your little podcasts and on your computer and on your CD-ROMs or whatever. You can store a lot of them there. It don't take you long to download. And in the case of Sci-Fi, he's going with old Gerald O'Brien, old Hybrid Nigger, old Wigger O'Brien in Idaho. And the man, his forum has just turned into crap. It has a whole bunch of spammers. And by the way, I'm looking, and for some reason, there's no fewer than 100 people signing up. But they're all spammers. They have the same stupid address. And yesterday I went ahead and deleted about 1,500 of them. It took me about 5 minutes. A lot less time it took them to go ahead and join. So I'd like to thank old Terrace for joining. But that's why I have everybody on moderation if they want to go ahead and join. And as I look at, unless you really have something useful to say, you don't really need to be on my forum anyway. But if you have something useful to say, and Trash Can, I really thank you for, showing up and posting stuff. And Trash Can has learned quite a bit about himself here. He's pretty well studied. He's pretty well studied himself. And he understands how he thinks. And most people should have as much self-awareness as Trash Can there. But going on, among Aryan nations, you end up having Sci-Fi Faber and Visser. They're sort of together again. And they're supporting old Gerald O'Hybrid Nigger Wigger O'Brien up in Idaho. And in the meanwhile, you end up having Morse Collette. Supposedly, he's supposed to join forces with Bradley Jenkins. And they're going to go ahead and go with Paul Mullett and the NSM and the rest of the stuff. Now, folks, all these little clowns, they really produce nothing except trouble. All they do is that you end up having these people living essentially off their stupid followers, 10s and 20s that they send here. David Duke, he does the same thing, but at a higher level. And you got to wonder if some of them aren't supported by Zog, just like Hal Turner was. Essentially what boils down to is, we'll go ahead and provide you with a web page. We ain't going to do like Hal Turner. We wasted probably a couple $100,000 on Hal Turner, and that's why we fucked him up. Hal Turner was just nothing more than just a little Michelin thief who went ahead and ripped us off, and we're pissed off, so we end up having a paid-for jury to go ahead and screw him up. So what happens is that Hal Turner, he deserved what he got, and pretty well, and it wasn't the bowel movement really has so much to complain because all Hal Turner did was provide buffoonery. Provide us something to laugh about and giggle about and chortle about. I mean, essentially, his main customers was Zog. And Zog, I don't think Zog liked being made look like a fool of here. And old Hal went ahead and he got a good deal of money from old Zog, and now he don't have any money, and He's going to go ahead and pay for every ramen noodle he gets in the future. That's what the old Halster is going to be paying for. Now, the thing about it is that trial was a farce. Well, Hal Turner wasn't doing anything really illegal. But it should tell you that you need to be careful. Now, Pastor Lynn said, you ain't careful. And the answer of it is no, I'm not. I'm not careful at all. You see, I'm not really scared of dying anymore. What I'm interested in is fucking Zog up here. I'm not worried about how Zog fucks me up. You see, when Zog is essentially torturing people, and treating them like shit. What goes around will come around. These federal pigs, some of them are going to live to see their children being skinned alive. Some of them are going to go ahead and be put in a cage with nothing but their canned spawn to eat after you send them through a wood chipper. They're going to have a hell of a time. But is this going to occur today or tomorrow? No. Not going to occur next week. It's not going to occur probably next month, or even within a year or so. But it is going to happen. Zog doesn't have too much time left on it. It's sort of like the decaying years under Asher Bani Pal in ancient Nineveh, when the Assyrian Empire fell apart because of the success, really. Went ahead and destroyed the Elamites, and then there was nothing to protect the Elamites. There was no buffer between the Persians and the Medes and the Assyrians and the Babylonians once the Elamites had been pretty well wiped out by the Assyrians. Zog is falling apart. Zog is not in very good shape. If anybody goes ahead and looks and seen what happened in Atlanta, it was the same thing that happened last year in Detroit. All these niggers looking for Section 8 housing, and they riot when there isn't enough vouchers because there's no way to go ahead and support all these worthless niggers. No way at all. None. And the fact of the matter is the people go ahead and look at it, and I've been reading this blog called Stuff Black People Don't Like, and essentially it's showing that, things are falling apart in the Zog line. Black line America is not very well run at all. And what they were trying to show in this, I sort of took a nap, this afternoon and got up about a half hour before the show started. And I'm going to go ahead and look and hear them whining about poor niggers killing other, nigglets killing nigglets in Chicagoland. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, you sort of think that if they had niggers had any sense, they'd at least go ahead and barbecue them after they went ahead and have some pulled long pork. But no, niggers ain't that smart. Here's another thing I want to go ahead and cover, and this is going to go ahead and lead to this other thing. I'm going to go ahead and talk about how Hal Turner, for whatever reason, either didn't have enough money. For whatever reason, he didn't have the lawyer who managed to go ahead and bring it to a mistrial the first two times. Instead, he was represented by a public pretender. Now, let's go ahead and see what Harold Covington, he's absolutely right, because Harold Covington says, shorter, what I pretty well say the same thing, is that don't get a public pretender. Never get a public pretender. Never, ever get a public pretender. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the Free Edgar Steele blog run by Covington. Now, I was making fun of it about 2 weeks ago called Use Edgar Steele. Come on. Did it already disappear? Well, I guess I don't see it here. Anyway, the purpose of the public pretender system. Okay, now I see what's wrong with it. I think I see what's wrong with it. Okay. Well, I'm looking for here. I mean, the one thing I ended up losing was a bunch of these bookmarks. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I went ahead and did a refresh on it. See if I can't go ahead and get this thing up. Answer, no, I can't. Can't seem to go ahead and get anything up here. Let's see. Well, I guess I'm not going to go ahead and have it. Anyway, Harold Covington was talking about how the public pretender system is really nothing more than a way for Zog to pretend that you're going to go ahead and get a fair trial before, you know, before they go ahead and hang you or, you know, send you, you know, send you for the rest of your life, however long or short it is, to die in a gulag. Or to take, you know, take the productive time of your life. And essentially, Zog is doing the same thing the KGB did in Soviet Russia. They needed some slave labor, so they just went ahead and rounded people up and did this sort of thing. So that's why all these lawyers and all these social workers and all these pigs and the rest, they need to die. They need to find out that you don't do this shit to your own people. A public pretender is nothing more than a piece of shit who, in most cases, has sent far more people than the prosecutor to prison. All it is just a little fig leaf to say that you had a fair trial before you got a pretty well stacked trial with a stacked jury like Hal Turner, and I think Edgar Steele is going to face tomorrow. Supposedly, Edgar Steele's trial starts tomorrow. What that's me is that all of Trader Glenn Miller's letters have gone through, and only one of Harold Covington's letters, and only one of April Gady's letters went through. So what happens is Zog has this little rat, and they get to have a special time with Edgar Steele and whisper in his ears of Edgar, we're for you, we're pulling for you, Edgar. What happens is go ahead and take the nice public pretender and do whatever the heck you need to do. You'll do fine, Edgar. Oh, by the way, here's some of my Zog bucks here. I want you to go ahead and pay attention to pretend that I'm a real movement leader, even though I went ahead and betrayed everybody I could. I mean, I don't understand. I don't know what to go ahead and believe with Trader Glenn Miller. Maybe none of it. It seems to me that Edgar Steele is writing Trader Glenn Miller back. Look, Edgar, ain't very smart to go ahead and side with somebody who's a known traitor. Ain't very smart at all. You go ahead and side with a known traitor, people think the same thing that they do with Hal Turner. Hey, for the best. Let Zog fuck him up. Thing about it is that Edgar Steele and Hal Turner are not the same sort of people. Edgar Steele actually is on the side of the resistance, but, you know, regrettably, he's just a Whigger. He wants to be a lawyer, and he has all this sort of lawyer degree and all this lawyer stuff, and he's been, for most of his life, a lawyer. And supposedly he's going to go ahead and follow what the brethren of the bar tell him to do. He's not going to be able to go ahead and just tear up the rules and do whatever the heck it needs to in order to go ahead and derail the railroad. I don't see him derailing the railroad. But let's go ahead and look at I did go ahead, and somebody is keeping track of Edgar Steele. And let me go ahead and look at this sort of thing about the latest updates. Okay. Well, I got a whole bunch of stuff up. Okay. I'm looking at www.takeourworldback.com/steelframeup.htm. It's www.takeourworldback.com/steelframeup.htm. .htm, and they're all one word. There's no space between them. Okay, it looks like I've gone ahead and been, it looks like TalkShoe has sort of kicked me out. So, I'm going to go ahead and go back. Okay. Well. Okay. Well, it looks like there's nothing much going on in chat. I don't know how long I was off of the TalkShoe, probably for about a half hour or more. But I'll go ahead and look at TalkShoe Grabber and bring it back. Okay? Let's see. There's not really much going on. You're reading that. Yeah, the July 28th where he went ahead and pled not guilty, and then he went ahead and his wife met with, tells her appreciation for hundreds of dollars in donations has already been sent to help fight the charges against her husband. Thing about it is that a couple hundred dollars, hundreds of dollars is not going to go ahead and get anything other than a public pretender. That's all it's going to get. August 12th, Thursday. It was revealed that Edgar Steele had asked for his wife to be allowed to visit him so they can discuss common property and interests and financial issues related to their children. August 13th, Friday, Judge B. Lynn Windmill accedes to the request for a meeting between Edgar and Cindy Steele under condition that if either of them attempt to discuss the case or anything related to it, public defender Roger Peven would immediately terminate the visit. Peven or Peven, P-E-V-E-N, is to monitor the meeting, and a recording will be sent to Assistant U.S. Attorney Tracy Whelan. Folks, if this is not an issue of dog treason, essentially you end up having this federal judge goes ahead and agrees to a request, which should not have been a matter of this judge agreeing or not agreeing. Now, where did this Candy or Cindy character, who was a former magistrate judge, where did it go to? Is this Judge B. Lynn Windmill, the higher-level judge, an actual judge as opposed to a magistrate judge? Probably what I need to do is I probably need to go ahead and go to the U.S. District Court of Southern Idaho webpage and find out who exactly are the magistrate judges and who are the actual judges, find out what the hierarchy is. But what you see is that they're charging Edgar Steele with tampering with a witness, i.e. his wife. Folks, there should not be any charges. See, the thing about it is, under this wonderful constipation bill of goods of ours, they said that regime criminals who went ahead and committed acts of treason would not be hung, drawn, and quartered. In short, there's no really bill of attainders to where the people, when they got tired of their government shit, could go ahead and blame whichever little toady of the king and go ahead and put the blame on him. Folks, if you ever have a chance, look at Cromwell with Richard Harris and Alex Guinness. It's an old film from the early 70s, I think it was. And in it, you end up having Charles I. He has one of his little toadies called Staffordshire who does all his dirty work. And then old Charles I don't have any choice but to go ahead and let his enemy, his political enemies who have been aroused, chop off old Staffordshire's head for treason. Thing about it is, regime criminals, when they don't obey their precious constitution, do whatever the heck you want to them. There's no rules. If they can't obey the rules, then hey, screw them. Let them live with the fact that they have created a situation where it is actual civil war between all parties. And at the very end of the civil war, once the Whiggers go ahead and find out that they can't trust the Jews and can't trust the niggers and they can't trust the Whiggers, is that there's only 10% of the former Whiggers living and none of the Jews and the Mamzers and the regime criminals left. That's the only solution. The only solution is a great collapse, a great tribulation, a civil war. But what you see is that you see this public pretender, Roger Peven. He's the one who's in charge of saying whether or not a man gets to talk to his own wife over an alleged murder plot. So short of Edgar and Cindy say, hey, I don't believe it happened, and Cindy says, I don't believe it happened, and I'll say the same thing, guess what? The public pretender, rather than support Edgar Steele, is going to go ahead and terminate the meeting. He's going to go ahead and give a copy of the tape to the prostituting attorney, Casey Whelan, who's making up this shit. Look, prostituting attorneys, you need to learn that if you make a false complaint or make a malicious prosecution, there's a rope waiting for you, and that rope is made from the intestines of your husband and your wife and your children. There is no excuse for treason. There is no excuse for criminality. What happens? We go ahead and we look the other way when niggers kill each other and be niggers because we know that they're not able to do anything better. But what happens? We also look the other way when regime criminals commit acts of treason against us and our own interests and our own survival. But guess what? This public pretender, Roger Pevin, he's just a little toady who's working with the assistant U.S. attorney, Tracy Whelan. Essentially, you end up having three lawyers, and what they're doing is they're going after a brother of the bar. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm looking at the chat here, folks. Let me see. 11:29. Shoot, I don't know. I seem to have covered pretty well about everything I was going to go ahead and cover. Thing about it is that let me make a prediction. Is that this little thing that's chapter August 12th and August 13th is simply Edgar Steele telling his little public pretender that he's given up. He's going to go ahead and take his screwing. He's given up. So therefore, hey, if I give up, if I accept this public pretender, let me go ahead and talk to my wife. Not about the case, because we're not going to fight this case. Let me go ahead and talk to my wife about what we're going to do, about common property and interest and financial issues related to the children. Essentially, let my property go to my children and my wife. Let me talk to my wife and children. You know, let me talk to my wife. I'll go ahead and give up on you. I'll roll over for you. I'll be your bitch, dog. Now, the thing about it is that I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Looking at what happened August 12th, Thursday, and Friday. Because, the fact of the matter is that the only time I got to see Roxy was in there was when they were trying to figure out whether or not I had sufficient money to pay for a public pretender. Essentially what boiled down to is that, no, I didn't have the money to pay for a public pretender. Selby was trying to force a public pretender on me. But essentially, I didn't have the money for a public pretender. But by this time, well, Selby had gotten this little Jew medical student to say that I was nuts. So he didn't need the public pretender. He could go ahead and worry about that later. And the only way to go ahead, I'd go ahead and even talk to a public pretender was if I got to see Roxy. I managed to go ahead and stretch it out twice. Two visits with Roxy. Two contact visits with Roxy. And this is what Edgar Steele was doing. But Edgar Steele, he's not a tough guy like me. Edgar Steele, I think, is going to roll over. I would not be surprised if tomorrow he went ahead and took a guilty plea. Or at the very least, let the railroad continue. I don't think he's going to go ahead and derail it continue. And look, folks, this is my prediction. Now, folks, if you want to take my prediction with a grain of salt, you can go ahead and do so. You can go ahead and take my prediction with a grain of salt. But guess what? I predicted that Edgar Steele would not get bond. Because guess what? The case would fall apart. If it did. So maybe Edgar Steele got a serious plan here to pretend that he's going to go ahead and suck up Zog, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Edgar has only begun to fight, but I don't think so. I think Edgar is about to roll over. By the way, I need to go ahead and scan where old Edgar sent me a book here, said to Martin, who shows the character counts for an honest review. And I got one. He didn't really like my honest review. But in any case, folks, you have on Friday the 13th, Hal Turner going ahead and showing up for the third time in front of a stacked jury with a public pretender, and Hal gets 10 years. He's going to get 10, I don't know how long Hal Turner's going to get, but don't look good. What happens, Edgar's at least going to go ahead and put up a little token defense, although I don't see how he can have much of a defense except a public pretender. Well, folks, I would not be surprised if tomorrow Edgar Steele said, hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and agree to take a plea bargain because you let me go ahead and talk to my wife about financial interests, common property interests, and financial issues related to my children. And what happens, you're not going to go ahead, stamp me with this big old $250,000 fine, which is unconstitutional. You'll go ahead and return all my money and my silver and whatever that's left to my wife, and I'll go ahead and plead guilty. I would not be surprised at all if that's exactly what he does. Okay? In any case, I don't know. Is there anybody? Are you asking me if I listen to Bowel Movement shows? I've been listening to some of them that I found interesting. Now I got MP4 player. I listen to every single one of Harold Covington's shows, even though I don't agree altogether with them, because they're short and they're entertaining. Judas Giles, I've been listening to his, but usually I listen to him if somebody tells me that there is something that I need to listen to, like Saturday's broadcast where he says, so I'm a federal informant, so what? And I'm probably going to listen to today's show to where I think he's going ahead and getting, Roid Rage Retard is getting his little raisin-sized testicular Roid Rage Retard courage up to confront Alex Linder, on whom he has a little man crush. He thinks Alex Linder is a street fighter. No, he ain't. Alex Linder's total pussy. Total cowardly pussy. All he was some little Guido that Pierce went ahead and recycled in order to run a false front organization. Linder's never been able to support himself, never wanted to. He's not a street fighter. He's not really much of a speech maker. He really isn't that much of a writer. The only thing I've written is where he writes little chat spa little things, like little spintros, is what he's supposedly famous for. And actually, there's some guy named Pearson who wrote most of them, from what I gather. But here, here's old Roy Rage Retard. He's built up Alex Linder as a great movement bowel leader in his own little mind. What is he doing? He's working up his courage to confront Alex Linder. He was trying to call Alex Linder. Alex Linder was probably having as much sense as Covington to not go ahead and answer Roid Rage Retard's phone calls. I wouldn't if I was anybody who had any sense here. Now I would go ahead and answer Roid Rage Retard's calls, but Roid Rage is hiding from me. I'm not hiding from Roid Rage, okay? So, yes, I do listen to movement calls here. I've listened to Mike Delaney's 29th July broadcast, and I'll probably listen to Sword Mamser, one of these things, to go ahead and get an idea. So you go ahead and you listen to them, and when they're droning on, they tell you stuff that they probably didn't mean to go ahead and tell you. I was listening to old Hunter Wallace for actually the third time. Listened to him on December 18th while I was going on. I listened to him afterwards. And recently I went ahead and got a MP3 player. And as much as I can, I'm reducing. I'm going ahead and taking the original and then creating a little directory, you know, called working, and I'm reducing these directories from 64-bit to 16-bit. So in many cases, that reduces the size of the radio program from 90 or 100 megabytes to about, 6 or 8. Because for voice communications, and this is what this thing is, other than that little bit of singing I did, and probably 16-bit is more than adequate for it. I don't really need to go ahead and listen to it in 64-bit stereo. 16-bit is good enough, you know, like an FM card. And as a result, you can store a bunch of stuff on it. And what I've been doing is learning how to run this MP3 player, and I've been listening to shows which, for some reason, have some value to them. So, yes, I have been listening to it. You know what I mean? Well, Sword Manzer probably is. Okay? Anyway. Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know. In any case, I was looking at chat here, and Poopy Dog is with his little flea bit in the ears. He's just laying on top of his master. He's in a little Poopy Dog heaven right now. But in any case, anyway, I'm looking at the timeline, and this Take Back Our World. From what I gather, he was not allowed to post all this stuff over Sperm Front, which should tell him the Sperm Front is near Zogfall's front. He wasn't, you know, he certainly didn't have room or the inclination to type anything on DNNF, because it's really nothing more than Greater Free Range Chart Corral. So he went ahead and posted a pretty good thing here, but there's really nothing there except for the last 2 days. And the most important thing is those last 2 days, which indicate, at least to me, that probably Edgar Steele is going to cut a deal. Okay? Anyway, I wanted to go ahead and talk about old Mark Downey. The thing about Mark Downey is that he's sucking up with some of the Christian identity beliefs that are safe with Bertrand Comparet. But he has somebody called Chosen Race who really doesn't like him talking shit about Pete Peters. And essentially don't much care for Downey. Now, I don't know. It's just a matter before Chosen Race gets banned. And gets banned pretty soon. But, let me see. Where am I at? The thing about it is that, Clowney is back to trying to pretend to be Christian Identity in order to fool the newbies. He's not Christian Identity. Heck, he's not even Christian. All he is just some little card, sort of like old Liability Clues who showed up as a clud and made off with the Klan sexual mascot, i.e. Klunt. And they hate Christian Identity. What they do is that they sided with all people with old Richard Nemo, who's a Jew from the Washington D.C. area. I don't know if old Nemo Turd is still alive or not. Who told them that the Talmud is the basis for Christian identity because the Talmud goes ahead and admits that Jews are the spawn of Satan. And the fact of the matter is, the Talmud does sort of admit that the Jews are the spawn of Satan. The Talmud, for those who really get into it, sort of explains where Jews come from. Your high-level Jews know that they are descended, you know, that they came out of Satan's pee hole when it comes down to it. They know full well where they came from. And some people say that they're Edomites or that they're Canaanites or something like that. Pretty well tries to ignore the fact that when it comes down to it, they are descended from Satan. And Bill Fink did a wonderful job on the 29th of July on Delaney's talk show program, let's say, hey, one drop of Jew blood corrupts you absolutely. It turns you into a spawn of Satan Mamzer that is not able ever to make its way clear to Yahweh's grace. So as a result, they are what they are. A Jew is a Jew. There's no changing them. There's no changing them at all. Now, what I was getting at is that, you know, and Frank did a very good job talking to the Scott character, and you know, pretty well made old Scott back down to where Scott didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And that's what happens on the internet. You have a lot of people who do not have any idea what they're talking about. Now, pretty well, Downey is allowed on Sperm Front. The reason he's allowed on Sperm Front is so that he can go ahead and convince these newbies who don't know what Christian Identity is that he's Christian Identity. Well, he's not. He's just a little Zogbot playing a shit. Just like Sci-Fi Faber. Sci-Fi, he wants to be Christian Identity, but he's not. He don't have a clue as to how to go ahead and be Christian Identity. All he is just some little wigger-tard married to a wop wife who wants to run in front of any little program and hoping that he's going to go ahead and make money off it, just like the rest of these Aryan Nations clowns. Send them $25, and they'll make you a major general or colonel or whatever. If you live in a state where you don't have any other wannabes, you might become a major general. If you have a bunch, where there's a bunch of maybes, you'll probably end up becoming nothing more than captain. Send them money, and what happens? They'll spend it, and they'll tell you they'll spend it on their compound. And the rest that's left over from the compound, they'll spend on literature. LITTERATURE. We're going to go ahead, thanks to a donation from the SPLC, ADL. We're going to go ahead and point out, kill all the Jews, put them all in an oven, and we're going to put it on Wigger and Nigger and Mamzer lawns and scare the shit out of the Wiggers. Okay? That's the way it usually ends up. So, anyway, I think it's been, you know, I mean, this one guy who sometimes shows up, he seems to have gone ahead and left. And what I'm going to do is I don't think there's going to be anybody who calls in. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and summarize. The name of the show is Zog Will Fuck You Up. And what happens, that's what happened to Hal Turner. Now, Hal Turner actually didn't send anybody to prison. He has a better regard for that than Trader Glenn Miller. Didn't really testify against him. And what I think is that he's such a thieving clown that the Fibbies got wind that he was playing them for fools and got all pissed off and decided to go ahead and send old Hal to prison for making them look like fools. And Hal had a nice little run. But hey, everybody's wise to him. Nobody trusts him at all. Everybody thinks he's a liar and a thief and a traitor, and he is. Well, he showed up with a public pretender who sold them out in front of a stacked jury, and he got convicted. And the crooked federal judge is not going to let him out on bail. And they're going to go ahead and put the little squeeze to old Hal. Now, old Hal, he wanted to be a little movement turd wigger and play the game of I decide who's dangerous and who's not. But at the same time, he was talking about over-the-top shit and trying to get wiggers to reveal themselves as being dangerous psychotics so he could turn them over to the FBI. And the fact of the matter is that most of Zogling Wiggerdom is just Zogling Wiggerdom. You see, folks, I don't advocate you do anything if it gets you in trouble. I don't advocate you do anything if it gets you caught. I'm just simply saying that time is going coming. It's coming sooner than you think. When there is no law and there is no order, and essentially you have no choice other than to do whatever harsh things you need to do, first to survive, and then to make sure that you prevail by sending these crazy traitors and these wiggers and these criminals to death. not to prison. 10 million white men cannot rule over 150 million Uyghurs and 140 million mutts. Get down, poopy dog. Anyway, he was taking care of his own little internal vermin here and scratching me up here. So he needs to scratch his flea somewhere else. Little bastard actually needs a flea bath. Yep. Flea bath. See, Roxy thinks that when he hears the word bath, he gets all scared. But actually, that's not the case at all. He goes ahead and he hears the hot water tank going. He sees the dishes being washed. He sees the sheets being washed. And then he knows that he's in trouble. So he tries to make himself scarce by hiding underneath the bed. But it don't matter. Sooner or later, you live with us, poopy dog. You'll have to come out for food and water. You'll be caught, trapped like a rat, and duly dipped and flea-bathed. Anyway, what happens is that poopy dog, in many ways, is about as doomed as a Uyghur is. Well, folks, if you're a white man, you don't need to be a Uyghur. You need to prepare for the time ahead. Very well, keep your own peace. Know your own mind. And the life you save will be your own. And your family's. You need to go ahead and figure out which one of your family has some usefulness and which one of your family is just nothing more than a leech that will turn you out. C.F. Matthew 10, verse 36, where a man's foes will be they of his own household. Okay? So, anyway, I'm looking at the repartee between guest number 32 and Frank and Wigger. Anyway, it seems like this show has pretty well come to an end, but I want to go ahead. I did talk about Hal Turner. I covered it. I had to cover what was going on in the Aryan Nations. Essentially, Morris Gillette, or at least Bradley Jenkins and Paul Mullen, think that Morris Gillette is going to go with their faction. It don't really matter. I'd far rather they go with more, when Gillette went with the old Mullins. At least they're all in Ohio. And pretty well, Sci-Fi Faber and the rest of his clowns up in Idaho, they're playing games, not getting anything accomplished. And there was an NSM rally, and a fine time was had by all by running around showing how badass they were. They accomplished absolutely nothing. And it looks to me like it's very possible that Edgar Steele is going to go ahead and make a plea bargain tomorrow. That's how come he got to, talk to his wife and make arrangements for their financial future. Financial issues, related to their children. So I'm predicting that the odds are very good that tomorrow old Edgar Steele is going to go ahead and break and take a plea bargain. But we will see. I doubt that Edgar Steele is going to do what he needs to do. And that's derail the railroad by firing the public pretender. Telling the judge that, hey, look, I want to go ahead and be my own attorney. Therefore, I need to go ahead and have access to witnesses. I need to take depositions of my own wife as to whether or not this actually occurred, where actually a crime occurred, or whether it was just some bullshit you made up. And the thing about it is, get used to spending another next year or so in jail. You fight them to a standstill to where they go ahead and give up. But by going ahead and getting something from Zog, it seems to me that the quid pro quo is that tomorrow Edgar Steele will go ahead and plead guilty to whatever. And then the end result is that old Edgar's going to go ahead and be fucked. Folks, Zog will fuck you up. So if you're going to go ahead and get fucked up by Zog, then you go ahead, you get fucked up on your feet fighting Zog, not on your knees, sucking Zog off. Because that's what happened with Hal Turner, and that's what might end up happening with Edgar Steele. But Folks, I had five people stuck by me when I was in my time of, you know, time of pain. It looks like these people, these great bowel movement leaders, don't have anybody. Don't have anybody at all. But they didn't have any, they didn't have any inner strength at all either. They didn't know their mind, their own mind. So that's what ends up happening. If you don't know what you're doing and you don't take care to go ahead and do something here. Well, by the way, Jet and John, the future of white nationalists, I don't know if it's the future. I mean, they have a somewhat interesting program, and I'll probably go ahead and listen to the podcast. Sometimes they're funny as heck. The reason I like old Jet Rink is he's sort of like Linder-like. And he really gets under Linder's skin. You know, he don't get under mine, so you know, I guess I'm not that crazy about it, but hey, he gets under Linder's skin because he's a lot like Linder. So it just amuses the heck out of me sometimes listening to Jet and John. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and I think it's about time that I go ahead and put this show pretty well close to on the road. So I'm going to go ahead and sing the Florian Geyer, and we'll go ahead and call it a night, folks, okay? Hold on, folks. Let me see. Let me get down to it here. Okay. Well, folks, I'm learning more and more and more about how to better use my technology, and someday I'll have I'll probably never have a seamless show, but I will have one that I learn a little bit better how to go ahead and use the technology available. Anyway, folks, hold on. White and clad in black are we, aye, aye, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, aye, aye, oh, white and go, revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow, white and go, civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. Red of Delta and Egypt man, Kyrie-lay-i, oh, who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. Why they don't revolt, oh, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go, civil war, ho. On the courthouse dogs, let red blood flow. Bold white and their rightful truth, the Jews are laid low. On dog's wing next, we stomp our boots. We stamp out of so. White and go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White and go, civil war ho. On the courthouse walls, let red blood flow. There's only love this dream. Aye, aye, oh, the love of God our only means. Aye, aye, oh, why say go, revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock go. Why say go, civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawn, wet red blood cars. This car is for our cause of life. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let the red blood flow. Anyway, folks, let me go ahead and see what's going on in chat, and I think that's about it. So, I don't know if this is a particularly good, you know, show. I mean, I really was sort of hurting tonight. But in any case, hail victory, and may Yahweh bless. Good night, folks.